where he spoke about Sakama Karma, the gist of what Krishna spoke was that one should do his duty of fighting. So he told Arjuna, if you win the fight, you will enjoy earthly kingdom. If you die in the battle, then you will go to heaven and enjoy there. So in either case, you will only enjoy, you will not suffer. Okay? But on the other hand, if you avoid this duty of fighting, then you will suffer sinful reactions. Not only that, you will suffer infamy. People will speak bad words, unkind words about you, that you are that you ran away from the battlefield out of fear. Okay? So, to avoid that akirti, ninda, criticism and sinful reactions, better you do your duty of fighting. If you win, you will enjoy earthly kingdom. If you die in the battle, you will go to heaven and enjoy there. Fine. So, he spoke about karma, doing the duty. So, he spoke jnana in the first section. Then he spoke karma in the second section. In this third section, which is buddhi yoga, from 2.38 to 2.53, Krishna will speak about working with knowledge and detachment. He spoke about knowledge in the first section. He spoke about working, karma, in the second section. Now he is speaking about working with knowledge and detachment. That is buddhi yoga. That is nishkama karma yoga. To be very specific, it is nishkama karma yoga. So do your karma. Okay, and connect with the Supreme Lord through that karma. That is, that becomes karma yoga then. And when you are connecting with the Supreme and then working, you should have some detachment. You should have some knowledge about the Supreme. You should have some detachment from the material results. That's why the word nishkama is specified there. So nishkama karma yoga, in short, can be called as karma yoga. Okay. Karma yoga generally includes nishkama, and for you, if you want to be very specific, then you can call nishkama karma yoga. Okay. So that's the terminology that we generally follow, as indicated by the Acharya's commentaries and all. Okay. So Krishna is beginning. 2.39. येशाते भिहिता सांख्ये बुद्धिर योगे त्विमां श्रुणु बुद्ध्यायुक्तो यया पार्थ कर्मबंधं प्रहास्यसि येशाते अभिहिता सांख्ये. So thus far I have explained to you this Sankhya. When did he explain Sankhya? 2.11 to 2.30. Okay, where he explained the analytical knowledge of body and soul, matter and spirit. So he is referring to that. I have explained to you this Sankhya. Eshate abhihita Sankhye buddhri yoge tu imam shrunu. Now you listen about buddhi yoga. I have completed the topic of Sankhya. Now you start listening about buddhi yoga. Buddhya yukto yaya partha, if you apply your buddhi, your intelligence on this yoga, on this buddhi yoga, then karma bandham prahasyasi. You will be out of this karma bandhan. What is karma bandhan? The bondage that comes because of fruitive activities. When we perform some activities in this world, so the activities will impose some bondage upon us if we do it with attachment. Okay, so karma bandham prahasyasi. If you learn what is buddhi yoga and follow the principles of buddhi yoga, then you will learn, you will be devoid of any material bondage, Krishna says. So what is this buddhi yoga? Krishna explains at length in the next several verses. Now just now we just were introduced this to this terminology of buddhi yoga first time in the 39th verse. Buddhi yoge tu imam shrunu. So what is this buddhi yoga? We'll understand. Buddhi basically is intelligence. Yoga means connecting with the Supreme. Buddhi yoga means that you connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead with your intelligence. You apply intelligence in your yoga. That is buddhi yoga. And in the highest sense, buddhi yoga means bhakti yoga only.
Okay. So you are engaging your intelligence to connect with the Supreme, and the Supreme engagement of intelligence is engagement in performing devotional service unto the Supreme. He is the most intelligent person. So thus, many purports of Prabhupada here equate Buddhi Yoga with Bhakti Yoga. What is Buddhi Yoga? Prabhupada says working in Krishna consciousness. Okay. Now, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur indicates, he writes, Buddhi Yoga also means Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay. We just described what is Karma Yoga, connecting with the Supreme Lord through activity. Okay. And if you don't have any attachment to that activity, Nishkama Karma Yoga, to be very specific, then there is no bondage. Okay. But in the initial stages of Nishkama Karma Yoga, you don't have that deep detachment towards the results of your activities. Okay. And you don't have great knowledge also. When the knowledge and detachment are in practice stage or cultivation stage, these are the initial stages of Nishkama Karma Yoga. But for a person who is very mature in knowledge, very much detached from his fruitive results, okay, so his knowledge and detachment are so high by performing Nishkama Karma Yoga, there is no difference in that Nishkama Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. So, initial stages of Nishkama Karma Yoga, you are trying to practice detachment and trying to cultivate knowledge. But in the highest stages of Nishkama Karma Yoga, you are very mature in your knowledge and you are very mature in your detachment also. Clear? There are stages. So, Buddhi Yoga could mean Nishkama Karma Yoga. Buddhi Yoga could mean Bhakti Yoga also, depending on the context, depending on the advancement of the practitioner. For example, Krishna says in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, okay, so, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenama Mupayantiti. There also the word Buddhi Yoga comes. That Buddhi Yoga is clearly Bhakti. Okay. So, it's like pure Bhakti Yoga. Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam means I will give him the necessary intelligence with which he can come back to me. I will give him the necessary devotion with which he can come back to me. So that is that Buddhi Yoga. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that the Buddhi Yoga in that verse is Bhakti Yoga only. Okay. So, but in other context, the Buddhi Yoga could also mean Nishkama Karma Yoga. So, Bhakti Yoga is purely connecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead with devotional service. When Nishkama Karma Yoga is there, so there is karma, there is Nishkama, and there is also Jnana. Nishkama Karma Yoga includes Jnana. Okay. So, there is knowledge, there is detachment, there is work. Work, knowledge and detachment, all three are there. Okay. Now, you see, in this purport, Prabhupada writes that in the second paragraph. So, in the first paragraph, Prabhupada summarizes what has already been discussed so far. Okay. And Prabhupada also differentiates between what the Sankhya that Krishna spoke and the Sankhya some atheists speak. Okay. So, Sankhya is basically analyzing something to understand it. Okay. Prabhupada writes in the beginning of the purport, Sankhya refers to philosophy which describes the real nature of soul, and Sankhya means that which describes things in detail. A detailed analysis of things is Sankhya, and in this context Sankhya is describing the analysis of soul and the body. And now somebody can analyze body, somebody can analyze matter, okay, somebody can analyze this world, keeping Krishna outside, keeping God outside the discussion, they can analyze. So such analysis is atheistic, that is pertaining to only analyzing matter, okay, without bringing in the discussion of spirit there. But the Sankhya or the analysis presented in Gita and Bhagavatam is bringing in the spirit also. The discussion about the spirit, soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The connection between whatever you are analyzing and the Supreme Lord is very much discussed there. So, somebody may analyze earth, water, fire, air, ether, all these elements. So they may do some experiments and then they will bring out some results, and this is the reaction of when you mix this with that, you will get this. A lot of analysis is there. But we also discuss about earth, water, fire, air, ether, intelligence, ego, mind, and all these things in connection with the Supreme. That is our Sankhya. So there is theistic Sankhya, there is atheistic Sankhya. So Prabhupada differentiates that. So analyzing things without keeping God in center makes it atheistic. Okay. And analyzing things with Krishna in the center, with God in center, with the Supreme Absolute Truth in center, considering that Absolute Truth be the origin of everything, then that is theistic Sankhya and devotional Sankhya that devotees do. Okay. And now in the second paragraph, Prabhupada says that the Lord, therefore, this Buddhi Yoga is clearly explained in the chapter 10, verse 10, as being direct communion with the Lord, who is sitting in the Paramatma in everyone's heart. I already mentioned it. Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upayantite. Okay. So let us discuss more in detail. 40th verse. Neha Bhikramana Shosti.
Neha Bhikramana Shosti.
Pratyavayona Vidyate.
Pratyavayona Vidyate.
Svalpamapyasya Dharmasya.
Svalpamapyasya Dharmasya.
Trayate Mahato Bhayat.
Trayate Mahato Bhayat.
Neha Bhikramana Shosti. Pratyavayo na vidyati. So, in the 39th shloka, Krishna introduced the terminology Buddhi Yoga. Now, you apply intelligence in understanding what is this Buddhi Yoga. Okay, he said that. Now, he says, in this endeavor, okay, na iha abhikramana. Abhikramana is endeavoring. In this process, or when you are endeavoring in this process, nasho asti, na nasho asti, there is no loss. Then pratyavayo na vidyate, there is no diminution. Okay, there is no loss, there is no diminution, means there is no decrease and there is no losing something, right? So then Krishna says, he says, svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Svalpamapyasya, even if you make little advancement in this yoga, trayate mahato bhayat, that can protect you from the greatest danger. Krishna does not use the word bhakti here. In several verses that are following here, Krishna doesn't use the word bhakti. But the highest explanation of all these verses is actually bhakti only. You can apply these verses to Nishkama Karma Yoga also, or any yoga in that sense. So neha bhikramana sosti pratyavayona vidyate svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. If you make advancement in yoga, okay, whatever little advancement that you have made is permanent, it is not lost. Okay. Now, highest interpretation of this verse is applicable to Buddhi Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. Okay. But it can be applied to Ashtanga Yoga also, it can be applied to Jnana Yoga also, it can be applied to Karma Yoga also. You make some advancement in so and so yoga and come up to that point, and then you just give up the body, or the person may just deviate and go to something else, but these impressions are still there. One may continue with those impressions in the later verse, one may reconnect also. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes like this in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Okay. So, in any yoga, if you make some advancement, means yoga is connection with the Supreme. If you connect with the Supreme through some medium, it could be through fruitive activities, that is Karma Yoga. It could be through knowledge, that is Jnana Yoga. It could be through meditation, that is Ashtanga Yoga. It could be through devotional service, that is Bhakti Yoga. Whatever way you connect with the Supreme, so that advancement that you make is not lost. It is there with you. Okay? Those impressions are not lost. Now, the highest explanation is Bhakti Yoga. Okay? So, Prabhupada writes, whatever advancement that one makes in Krishna consciousness, in performing Buddhi, Bhakti Yoga, that advancement is never lost. That is eternal credit. Because ultimately the souls are meant to do that. One may accumulate material impressions and they continue with the material impression in the next life. That's not a big thing. Okay, that is not what a soul is supposed to be doing. The soul is meant to do bhakti. Okay, not to do anything else. Thus this verse actually speaks about bhakti yoga, as Prabhupada indicates. Prabhupada writes in the purport. Although Krishna doesn't use the word bhakti in this verse. So, nehabhikramana sosti pratyavayona vidyate. He simply says that whatever advancement that you make in this yoga, whatever endeavor that you put, is a permanent asset. There is no loss, there is no diminution. What is that yoga? Ultimately, it is bhakti yoga. Okay. In the process of bhakti yoga, or devotional service unto Krishna, there is no loss by incomplete performance, there is no sin by imperfect performance. There may be imperfections in our performance of bhakti and there may be incompleteness. Two things. You may do something completely also but may not be of that quality. Or you may do something and then stop it. Not reach the quantity that you are supposed to reach. Whether your quality is less or quantity is less, whatever you have done is eternally credited. Whether there are imperfections or incompleteness. So Krishna will note down whatever you have done is there for you. So you can continue from there and you will be rewarded for that. Okay. Like that. And what is that? It saves one from the greatest danger. The greatest danger, as Prabhupada explains, is to degrade into repeated birth and death. The cycle of repeated birth and death is there. So one may degrade into that. That is the greatest danger. Ajamil has performed some little devotional service in the beginning of his life. He used to worship Lord Narayana as a young Brahmana before seeing that prostitute. You know that story, right? Ajamil's story. But somehow because of getting attracted to that prostitute unduly, then Ajamila was distracted from his religious path and devotional path, and then he lost it up to 88 years. He is in her association and then engrossed in so many activities. Then the Yamadutas came to pick him up. Then immediately Narayana's Dutas, Vishnu Dutas came and protected him. You know that. So, and Ajamila, because of his previous devotional service, he was fortunate enough to name his son as Narayana. And by calling his son with the name Narayana, 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 very affectionately, he was purified. And at the time of death, he called his son's name Narayana in anxiety, in a helpless state. Right? Whatever, couple of years, 2-3 years, the boy may be 2-3 years old. So while calling that boy for these couple of years, he took the name of Narayana affectionately. And when he is dying, he took the name in a anxious state and helpless state. So this chanting of the holy names with affection and in anxiety and helpless state completely purified him. And these impressions are there, this fortune is there because of some little amount of devotional service he has done in the beginning of his life. Okay. So one can be protected from the greatest danger even by doing little amount of devotional service. The message is not that you perform little bhakti and then leave there. It will save me from greatest danger. I can do anything else. If performing little bhakti can protect us from dangers, what if you perform more bhakti? Constant bhakti. If chanting inattentively can give so much result to Ajamil, if indicating son can give so much of result to Ajamil, what if you indicate the Lord directly? What if you chant throughout the life? What if you chant without any sinful activities? Like that, we discussed in Ajamil's story, we will not elaborate on it more. So, even a little advancement can give us so much of result, what to speak of complete advancement, okay? Or like a consistent advancement. So, Prabhupada writes, activity in Krishna consciousness or acting for the benefit of Krishna without expectation of sense gratification is the highest transcendental quality of work. So, in one sense, this is Nishkama Karma Yoga. You perform yoga, you perform karma, your activity. Yoga, in relation with the Supreme, to reach the Supreme. nishkama, without expecting anything in return. Fine? So then that is nishkama karma yoga. In the highest sense, that is bhakti yoga only. Okay, you are working for the pleasure of Krishna. But initial stages, you may be working. You may be trying to be detached. Okay? You may be trying to cultivate knowledge. But in the mature stage, your knowledge is complete and your work is complete. Okay? So now you see, somebody may work, and whatever work he is doing, he will offer it to the Lord. That is at one stage. Second stage, higher stage is, what does the Lord want me to do? You understand that. Then you do that work. So work is there in both cases. Initially, you do what you want to do and offer it to Krishna. Second, you do what Krishna wants you to do. Then offer it to Krishna. There is a difference between these two. Okay, for example, you have made halwa and offered it to your friend. Okay, good, that's wonderful, selfless, detached. Okay, but if the friend wants gulab jamun, then you understand, what do you want? I want gulab jamun. Then you make that gulab jamun and offer it to him. That's one step ahead. Giving whatever you have is one thing, giving whatever the other person wants is on a higher level. Okay, so now Prabhupada quotes another verse from Bhagavatam to substantiate this principle here. Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajanna pakvotha patetato yadi yatrakva vabhadra mabhuda vushyakim kovartha apto bhajatam swadharmataha. Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer. Tyaktva, giving up swadharmam by one's own duties. Charanam bhujam harer. One may give up one's duties, one's regular occupational duties and all that, and take shelter of Krishna. Charanam bhujam hare. Bhajan apakvotha. Such a person, even if his apakva, even if his bhajan is apakva. Apakva means which is not very mature. Okay. So even if one is unable to perform bhakti completely, and he may deviate from it in the middle also, still he is not a person to be considered as fallen person. Yeah, it's good. It would have been nice if he had completed fully. For example, somebody joins a course and he may not study till the end of the course. He may discontinue in the middle. But whatever he has learnt in the half of the course, that learning is there. That is beneficial for him in that sense. Okay. So, next, 41st sloka. Vyavasayatmika buddher ekeha kurunandana bahushakahyanantascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. Vyavasayatmika buddhi. Buddhi is intelligence. Krishna is elaborating on that buddhi yoga. So, from 41 to 46, Krishna speaks about Vyavasayatmika buddhi and the Vedic Karmakanda things. Okay, six verses are describing Vyavasayatmika buddhi and Vedic Karmakandas. Okay, what are they? Let's see. So far, what did Krishna say in this section? In the 39th verse, he requested Arjuna to understand what is buddhi yoga. In the 40th verse, he said, in this buddhi yoga, there is no loss or diminution. The results are everlasting. In the 41st verse, he says, Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandanaha. Vyavasayatmika buddhi means one-pointed intelligence. Okay? Your intelligence is focused on your goal. It is not deviating towards anything else. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana. Kurunandana means Arjuna here. Ekeha, it is like one-pointed. But bahushakhahi anantascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. Avyavasayina means people who are not one-pointed, people who are very distracted. Okay, such people, their buddhi is many-branched, multi-branched, bahushakhahi. For example, you are studying. Okay, now you will study for next 1 hour, 2 hours. So that is vyavasayatmika buddhi on the study for 2 hours. but you read for 5 minutes and then you take up your phone and then check messages. Okay, then you come back, then you read for 5-10 more minutes, then something will come. Okay, then something doesn't come, still you pick up the phone and then see. Right, just by checking your phone every 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you will not get messages. If someone sends, then you will get messages. If someone sends a message, you will get some sound. Okay, you don't have to be so restless. So without much necessity also, somebody may pick up phone and then see. That is bahusha khahi anantascha. While reading, he will think of something else. Of course, some emergency is there, the one has to attend to it. We are not saying denying that fact. But point is, somebody is doing some work, one has to focus on it. Okay, that is called fixed up intelligence, one-pointed intelligence, or vyavasayatmika buddhi. Okay, but avyavasayatmika buddhi is many-branched. It will think of 10 things. Okay, not focusing on one thing. Okay, that is avyavasayina. Prabhupada writes very beautiful purport. He says, a strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called vyavasayatmika intelligence. Okay, so vyavasayatmika buddhi is one-pointed intelligence that could be applied to anything. You are one-pointed in typing a document, you are one-pointed in reading a book, you are one-pointed in your chanting, you are fixed up in your so-and-so service. Somebody may be fixed up while watching a movie. Okay, vyavasayatmika, full concentration. But what the highest explanation of vyavasayatmika buddhi is that one-pointed, fixed-up intelligence applied to devotional service of Krishna. It's not just the external, focus on the activity or the concentration on certain activity. It's the internal faith on that activity. When the faith is so much, when you are very faithful that only by performing this duty I will attain all success, then you can be more fixed up. So what is the background of that vyavasayatmika buddhi or one-pointed attention on something? Faith. That's what Prabhupada says. A strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called vyavasayatmika intelligence. If we have that strong faith that only by bhakti yoga I can come closer to God, I can take to the shelter of Krishna, when that faith is there, then you can be one-pointed. Without faith, having one-pointed intelligence is very difficult. That's why Prabhupada brings in the topic of faith there. So vyavasayatmika intelligence is one-pointed intelligence, best intelligence. And the best intelligence is that which is focused on Krishna. Okay. So this verse, although Krishna doesn't use the word bhakti in this verse, it is speaking about bhakti. If you want, you can explain this to in something else also. Vyavasayatmika buddhi. While doing my project, I am very focused. While doing this so-and-so activity, I am very focused. That's all fine. Okay. We are not denying that. Any activity for that matter requires some focus and concentration in that. And some little amount of faith also in the activity, that activity can give you some benefit. Okay, either small benefit or big benefit. But the highest benefit of the soul is to be reconnected with the Supreme Lord, Krishna. And the highest explanation or interpretation of vyavasayatmika buddhi is that buddhi which is applied in Krishna consciousness. Is it clear? Okay. So Prabhupada gives the highest explanation of all these beautiful verses. Next. Prabhupada writes, so to be well versed in Krishna consciousness, so he said having firm faith in Krishna consciousness or bhakti yoga, that is vyavasayatmika buddhi. So to get that one-pointed focus in bhakti yoga, one has to surrender unto a guru, a bona fide guru, spiritual master. And Prabhupada quotes Chakvartipat's instructions or prayers. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado. Bhakti Yoga gives you the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And for you to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord, you need to get the mercy of Guru first. Because Bhakti Yoga is performed under the guidance of a Guru, bona fide Vaishnava Guru. And such a person can guide us to God also. Okay? Is it clear? 42nd verse. Now, Krishna says that Vyavasayatmaka intelligence is one-pointed, Avyavasayatmaka intelligence is many-branched. Okay? Why that many branches are coming into picture? Because of distractions and allurements. Now you are focused on your reading and some phone makes some sound and then you just go into it. As I said, if it is emergency, then you have to attend to it. But unnecessarily also we may see. Something which may not be ultimately beneficial also is given attention. So Vedas, the scriptures, allure us with certain benedictions or with certain material benefits, because of which we could get distracted from one-pointed focus on bhakti. I am chanting the holy names of the Lord and I am not getting immediate results. But by doing so and so yagya or yaga or homa or vrata or some demigod worship or something like that, one may get quick results. And Vedic scriptures, principles may sometimes allure us like that. So Krishna brings in that topic. So these are basically obstacles to being Vyavasayatmaka Buddhi person. What are the obstacles to be Vyavasayatmaka Buddhi? To be in Vyavasayatmaka Buddhi, Krishna elaborates now. First he describes about the followers of Vedas who are considered to be unintelligent from the highest perspective. 42. Yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadantya vipaschitaha vedavadarataha partha nanyadasti tivadinaha yam imam pushpitam vacham pravadanti avipaschitaha. So avipaschitaha means people who are not very intelligent, men with poor fund of knowledge. Prabhupada translates like that. So the unintelligent followers of Vedas, they are also called Veda Vada Rataha. They are avipaschitaha. Vipaschitaha means very learned and intelligent person. Avipaschitaha means very foolish person who is not very smart and diligent. So what do they do? Pushpitam vacham. They are attracted by the flowery words of the Vedas. Unintelligent followers of Vedas are attached to the flowery words, pushpitam vacham, mentioned in the Vedas, that recommend various activities that make one go to heaven, get good birth, get lot of power, opulence, wealth, good wife, good husband, good bungalow, good car, good prosperity in business, etc., etc., etc. Okay? There are certain phalashrutis. If you go through this, then you will get that. You give this dana and so day, you will get all this. Okay. So, yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadanti avipaschitaha vedavadarataha partha nanyadastiti vadinaha. Okay. So, next. He further elaborates. Kamatmanaha svargapara. Kamatmanaha means their hearts are filled with desires. Material desires. Kama could be lust. And kama could be any material desire for that matter, not just lust. Okay? On a physical plane. Kamatmanaha svargaparaha, with hearts filled with material desires, svargapara, they want to attain heavenly planets. Svargapara. Janma karma falapradam. So they want good birth, good janma, karma phala. And they are attached to fruitive results. So, kriya visesha bahulam bhogaishwarya gatim prati. Okay, they do so many things. Kriya visesha bahulam. They engage in so many such activities. All for what? Bhoga and aishwarya gatim. Bhoga is enjoyment. Aishwarya is wealth. To get material wealth and material enjoyment. These are the keywords in this verse. So, yamimam pushpitam vacham is flowery words. That is one keyword. Vedavadartha means unintelligent followers of Vedas. Another keyword. Okay, now bhoga and aishwarya are two more keywords that are connecting us to the next verses also. Okay. So, why one cannot be one-pointed in his intelligence because one is distracted by the allurements of Vedic principles. Okay, not principles as such, and the Vedic phalashrutis and all that. If you do this activity, you will get that result. So the flowery words of Vedas are attracting his attention, okay, from being one-pointed in bhakti. Now, Prabhupada writes that such persons have no faith in liberation from material bondage. They are very much attached to the process, pompous ceremonies of Vedic sacrifices. They are generally sensual and they do not want anything other than the heavenly pleasures of life. So let me do this sacrifice and go to heaven. That is the goal of my life. But point is, to be in heaven also is to be in a bondage. Okay? That's why Krishna introduced the topic by saying that karma bandham prahashyasi. Go to 2.39, the beginning verse in the series. Karma bandham prahashyasi means you will be devoid of any karma bandhan. Okay? Now you are focused on karma phala. How can you get karma bandhan? How can you be released from karma bandhan? As long as you are focused on karma phala, means the results of your fruitive activities, there is karma bandha. There is bondage to fruitive activities. You perform fruitive activity because you have attachment to the results of fruitive activities, and that will create bondage to fruitive activities. By focusing on karma phala, you cannot avoid karma bandha. Karma phala and karma bandha will go together. So Krishna is speaking on a different level. Karma bandham prahasyasi. If you follow buddhi yoga, then you will be coming out of karma bandha. But Veda vada rataha, the flowery words of Vedas, they will allure us to perform more and more fruitive activities. Perform so and so sacrifice, Jyotish Soma sacrifice. You will get this result, that result, you will go to heaven. So they will go to heaven. Being in heaven is also bondage only. Heaven is not in spiritual world, right? Heaven is also within the material world. Wherever we live in the material world, we are bound by birth, death, old age, disease. We are experiencing threefold miseries. Adhyatmika, adibhautika, adidevika kleshas are compulsory wherever we are in the material world. So even if one goes to the spiritual, even if one goes to the heavenly planets also by performing some karmakandic activities, so that is still in bondage. Indra is also fearful sometimes. Demigods are also fearful sometimes because some demon will overpower them at some time. And they will go to Brahma. Brahma will take them to Vishnu. Vishnu will come and protect them and then give them back the heavenly planets. To be in heaven is definitely enjoyable sometimes. And one may have a longer life also, but that is not completely freed from anxieties. Okay? That is still in bondage only. So, instead of getting attracted to Vedic allurements and not being Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, better focus our intelligence on something which is very permanent. Okay? Next, 44th sloka. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya apahrita chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhe samadhau navidhiyate. You see, this 44th verse is a continuation of the previous verse. In the 43rd verse, last line, Krishna said about Bhogaishwarya gatim prati. People are attached to bhoga, material enjoyment, aishwarya, material opulence or wealth. So, bhogaishwarya prasaktanam, being attached to bhoga and aishwarya. Saktana means being too much engrossed. Prasaktana means extremely engrossed in desires for bhoga and aishwarya. Clear? Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya apahrita chetasam. And because of that bhoga and aishwarya, chetasa, one's intelligence or knowledge or consciousness is stolen, apahrita. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya apahrita chetasam. Clear? First two lines are clear. Next, vyavasayatmika buddhi samadhau navidhiyate. For such people who are attached to bhoga and aishwarya, wealth and enjoyment, Vyavasayatmaka buddhi will not happen. Vyavasayatmaka buddhi samadho na vidhiyate. There is no question of one-pointed intelligence or fixed up intelligence or concentration on your goal of bhakti yoga when there is lot of attachment for bhoga and aishwarya. What are the obstacles for one-pointed intelligence? Or in the highest sense, what are the obstacles for buddhi yoga or bhakti yoga? Bhoga and aishwarya. Okay, attachment to material enjoyment, bhoga, and attachment to material opulence, aishwarya, are great obstacles in vyavasayatmika intelligence. Fine. Next, samadhau na vidhiyate. There is no samadhi for them. Samadhi means being fixed up. Vyavasayatmika buddhi and samadhi are more or less same. Samadhi means being in trance, being fixed up, totally concentrated on one goal only. That is samadhi. Vyavasayatmika buddhi means your intelligence is focused on one goal. There is a lot of similarities between these two terminologies. Vyavasayatmika buddhi, samadhi, and you can also add sthita prajna. That Krishna will bring up that topic in some time. Sthita prajna. Prajna means intelligence. Sthita means being firmly situated in that intelligence. Sthita prajna means one who is fixed up in his intelligence. Okay? These are all various terminologies. We will come to that sthita prajna when we come to 54th verse. Next, 45th verse. Traigunya vishaya veda.
Traigunya vishaya veda.
Nistraigunyo bhavarjuna.
Nistraigunyo bhavarjuna.
Nirdvandvo nitya sattvastho.
Nirdvandvo nitya sattvastho.
Niryoga kshema atmavan.
Niryoga kshema atmavan.
Traigunya vishaya veda. Vedas are speaking prominently about Traigunya. Means three gunas. What are the three gunas? Goodness, passion, ignorance. Sattva guna, raja guna, tamo guna. Traigunya vishaya veda. Most of the sections of the Vedas are focused on these three modes. Okay? The subject of the Vedas is mainly the three modes. Nistraigunyo bhava Arjuna. Oh Arjuna, become nistraigunya, become transcendental to these three modes. Okay? Krishna says. Rise above this Vedic karmakanda, rise above this Vedic flowery words that are very much centered around three modes. Krishna is continuing. In the 42nd and 43rd verse, he spoke about unintelligent followers of Vedas. Okay? And they speak about bhoga and aishwarya so much. And that's an obstacle in vyavasayatmika intelligence. So, we should rise above that. Okay? Rise above Vedic karmakandic things. So, nistraigunyo bhavarjuna. And you should not be attached to two modes. Next, nirdvandvo means no duality. Okay. Be free from all dualities. Nitya sattvastho. Be always in a pure spiritual state. Sattvastho could mean fixed up in mode of goodness. But here sattvastha is being fixed up in spiritual state. Because traigunya includes sattva also. Is it not? So in the first line Krishna said Traigunya is subject matter of Vedas. In the second line he said Nistraigunyo bhava. Right? Come out of that sattva rajas tamo gunas. In the third line, why he will again introduce sattvastho, nitya sattvastho. You are understanding? So the context of this word sattva is be in a pure spiritual state. Not be fixed up in mode of goodness. Being fixed up in pure goodness. Which is not tinged with passionate ignorance. Then that sattva is valid. We need to understand the context in which things are used also. He already said nistraigunyo. Niryoga kshema atmavan. Yoga and kshema. Don't be so anxious about your gain and safety. Okay. Here this yoga is not bhakti yoga, ashtanga yoga, etc. This yoga is you are concerned about your own safety. Okay, your own gain. Yoga, kshema. Kshema is safety. Yoga is what you want to gain. Niryoga kshema atmavan. Why? Actually this verse, although the word bhakti doesn't come, this verse is actually describing bhakti only. Acharyas explain this. Because Vedas are... And one more thing, we cannot minimize the position of Vedas also. Vedas are speaking mainly about three modes. Just give up, give that up. So give up Vedas. So now Krishna is saying this in a certain context. The instructions given in Vedas are also valid for certain category of people. Okay, the Vedas mostly deal with fruitive activities. And why do they do so? To gradually elevate general people from sense gratification to transcendental position. Now in a textbook you may find some ABCDs. Okay, ABCD 1 plus 1 equal to 2, 3 plus 4 equal to 7. So that is there. A PhD student is reading that. Okay, that is Traigunya Vishaya Veda. And the professor will come and say, Nistraigunya Bhava Arjuna, O PhD student. Give up this LKG textbook or first standard textbook. Take up this PhD textbook. Okay, you should read chemistry, physics, and then high level mathematics. You can't just be stuck up in 2 plus 3 equal to 4. 2 plus 3 equal to 7. Okay, you can't be stuck up there. So like that. So Vedas are also relevant. But that book, that is first standard textbook where some simple mathematics and numbers are given, that is very much relevant to the first standard student. Is it not? But you can't eternally be in first standard only. You have to graduate to second standard, third standard, 10th standard, 12th standard, B.Tech, M.Tech or MBBS, whatever the may be the stream. Okay. So Vedic principles and the flowery words that are described in Vedas are also valid. They are meant to attract the attention of general masses who are too much engrossed in sense gratification, and then to regulate the sense gratification, these flowery words are there. At least to get attracted, by getting attracted by the benefits, at least they will regulate their sense gratification. If you do so and so vrata, that has these principles, you will get this. At least to get that, they will regulate all the sense gratification stuff. Is it not? So, they are valid. But ultimately one has to come out of that. So meat eating is there, one should not eat meat. Some Vedic principle will come and say, okay, you can eat meat once in a month or once in 15 days, and Amavasya day, Purnima day, some protocol will be given. You do some puja to Kali and then eat it, something will be given. Okay, fine. They are aligning themselves to these instructions and regulating their meat eating. But one cannot stick to that only. One should ultimately, voluntarily, spontaneously not get attracted to meat eating at all. That is a haste stage. Okay. That's why one should not be just stuck up at that Vedavadarata stage only. One should just graduate. That's what Krishna says. Now, he says, Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna. So, you should be completely devoid of modes, means in the highest explanation of this verse is Bhakti Yoga only. Only Bhakti is beyond three modes. The performance of Bhakti Yoga makes a person transcend the three modes. Jnana and Karma, they are still said to be in three modes only. They cannot be Nistraigunya in the complete sense. Okay? Because of the presence of Sattva is still there in Jnana and Raja. Jnana and Rajas is there in Karma. In Karma, there is some passion. In Jnana, there is some goodness. So Krishna says, come out of that passion, goodness and ignorance. That means this verse is indicating only Bhakti Yoga, ultimately. And in the fourth line also, Krishna said, Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. Yoga Kshema, you don't have to worry about it. Niryoga Kshema. Why? Yoga Kshemam Vahami Aham. I will take care of it. Krishna doesn't release all that here. Because this is second chapter, Krishna is not using the word Bhakti very lavishly. When you go to 7th, 8th, 9th chapter, then Krishna says, Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. Ananyas Chintayanto Maam. Don't think of anything else. Yajanaha Paryupasate. One who worships me only without thinking of anything else. Tesham Nityabhiyuktanam. Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. I will take care of him. His yoga and his kshema are my burden, my responsibility. He says, Vahamyaham. Vahami means I will carry the burden. Not that Krishna has to exert himself to carry the burden, but he uses the word Vahami there, means he is very eager. Even if it is burdensome, I will take care of it. Your Yoga Kshema, you just give it to me. Here he just said, Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. Atmavan. Atma means soul. Atmavan means one who possesses the soul. What does it mean? We are souls. How can we possess the soul? So everybody is a soul. That means everybody is Atma or Atmavan. Everybody is having a soul. Or everybody is the soul in that sense. So everybody is Atmavan. But here Atmavan means what? You are Atma. Or in your body there is Atma. But you have not yet realized it. Atmavan means you have understood that you are Atma. You have realized that you are Atma. And you are acting on the level of Atma, soul. Such a person is Atmavan. Not everybody. Everybody is Atma, of course. Everybody is not Atmavan. He has not yet realized his self. You understand this? So, Niryoga Kshema Atmavan. So, when you realize yourself, when you realize that you are a soul, what do? You perform activities that are common and natural for a soul. What is so natural for a soul? To perform bhakti. Ultimately speaking, Atmavan is a person who is engaged in devotional service. A bhakti yogi is the real Atmavan. Is it clear? So like that, every word can be elaborated in a very deep manner. Okay. Then, 46th verse.
Yavanartha
udapane
sarvataha
samplutodake
tavan sarveshu
vedeshu
brahmanasya vijanataha.
Yavanartha
udapane
sarvataha
samplutodake.
Krishna gives a very nice example. All purposes of the Vedas are served to a person who knows the purpose of the Vedas. Krishna gives an example. For example, there is a small well in a village. Now we are living in a village, Govardhan Eco Village. If you go outside, go towards Hamrapur and the nearby villages, there are some small wells there. The village people, village ladies, and they will come and draw water from those wells. And you also see some small lakes also. On the bank of those lakes, you see some people washing their clothes. So, in a small village, there are some wells from which you draw drinking water. And there are some wells from which you, from where you wash your clothes. Okay? So, like that, now the well that is, well or small lake that is used for washing clothes, that water is not actually taken for drinking. Drinking water is different. So in a village, everybody knows, okay, this is a drinking water well and this is a cloth washing place, okay. So here we cannot pick up. But if there is a big river, huge water reservoir, there you can actually take water and wash your clothes, and the same well can also, same water reservoir can also give you water for drinking also. Nadi water is there, so people will go to huge Nadi, Ganga. They will take bath also, they will drink that water also. Okay? So what the purpose served by small wells are actually served by a huge water reservoir, a big river. Okay? Yavanartha udapane sarvataha samplutodake. Samplutodake means sampluta udake, a great reservoir of water. Okay? So tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanataha. Okay, brahmanasya means one who knows Supreme Brahman. One who is well versed with the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you understand the Supreme Lord, vijanataha, when you are in complete knowledge, then you will understand the purpose of Vedas. Ultimately, the purpose of Vedas is what? To worship Krishna. So this verse has a connection to 15th chapter verse. So I am not quoting which acharya I am taking from. But I am basically speaking from Prabhupada, Chakravartipada and Baldev Vidyabhushan. Okay. So in this purport, Acharya's quote 15.15. What is that verse? Vedaishya sarvair ahameva vedyo vedantakrit veda videva chaham sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mattaha smritir jnanam apohanam cha. In that second half of that verse, Krishna says, Vedaishya sarvam ahameva vedyu. I am the person who knows everything in the Vedas. Vedantakrit, I am the compeller of Vedas. Veda Videvachaham, I am the knower of Vedas. Right? He is the goal of Vedas, he is the knower of Vedas, he is the compeller of Vedas. When you know him, all the purposes of Vedas are served to you. You go to this Veda and then get something, some inputs. You go to some other Veda and then there is something there, you pick it up. So instead of getting attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas and frantically searching for some material enjoyment, bhoga and aishwarya here and there, better worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Become Brahmana. Brahmana is not just a caste. Brahmanasya vijayanatah means one who is knowledge, one who is in knowledge of the Supreme Brahman. When you are a devotee, basically, when you are a devotee, all purposes of Vedic instructions are automatically served to you. Basically, when you perform bhakti yoga, you don't have to consult many other things. Clear? So, although Krishna is not using the word bhakti in any of these verses, the highest explanation of these verses is bhakti only, as Prabhupada very brilliantly brings out. Okay? So, we have discussed the flow and the meaning of the verses according to what Krishna spoke. And we also discussed the highest explanation of all these verses from the bhakti perspective as Prabhupada explained. Fine? So we completed up to 46th verse. So in the 39th verse, Krishna introduced the word buddhi yoga. In the 40th verse, he said, there is no loss in this yoga, no diminution. From 41, he is saying, what is that buddhi, vyavasayatmika buddhi, being fixed up in the goal? And what are the obstacles? Bhoga and Aishwarya, which are recommended in, which are mentioned in the Vedic scriptures, and we get allured by that bhoga and Aishwarya and we get distracted. And Vedas are speaking about these three gunas. You have to transcend the three gunas. That's what Krishna says. Is it clear? Now 47th verse.
Karmanyevadhikaraste ma phale shukadachana ma karma phala hetur bhor ma te sangostva karmani.
In the 47, 48, 49 verses, Krishna is speaking very clearly about Nishkama Karma Yoga, how to practice it. He says, Karmani eva adhikarasti. This one line is often quoted, very popular line. Rest three lines are not that popular in the general masses. So, karmani eva adhikarasti. You have the adhikar, you have the right to perform your prescribed duty. Here, karma is prescribed duty. The duty that you are supposed to do. Karmani eva adhikarasti. You have the adhikar, you have the right to perform your prescribed duty. Clear? Second line, mafaleshu kadachana. Although you have the right to perform duty, you are not entitled for the results of the duty. Mafaleshu kadachana, you are not entitled to the results of action. You dutifully perform your work, and whatever result comes is not in your hands. Okay. You write your exam, result is not in your hand. Ultimately, it's there. You get whatever you deserve only, okay, but you may not know what you deserve oftentimes. Third line, ma karma phala hetur bhur. Never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities. Karma is activity, karma phala is result of activity. Karma phala hetu means cause of the result of your activity. Ma, don't think that you are the result of the you are the cause of the result of activities. Means you may do some work, you may get some result. So I did this work, I am getting this result, so I am the cause. You cannot think like that. Yeah, you should not think that I am the cause of all these results, because you are not the only doer. There are multiple doers. When we come to later chapters, we'll understand. Prakriti has to facilitate. You may desire, in that sense you may be the doer of activity, but unless Prakriti facilitates it, you cannot do it. You may desire to make a garland. Now there is garland here. You may desire to make a garland, but unless you have flowers, which is given by this nature, you cannot make the garland. Okay, Prakriti facilitates, and Krishna has to sanction it. You may want to make a garland, but unless God sanctions it, you may not be able to make it. Okay? So, never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activity. The results of your action are very much dependent on so many other factors other than you only. Okay, fourth line. So now somebody may question, I should do activity, I should not be attached to result, I am not the cause of the result also, why should I do activity then? Okay, Krishna says, no, you should not give up the duty also. Mate sangostu akarmani, don't be attached to not doing your duty also. Do your duty. You are not entitled for results. You are not supposed to enjoy the results. You should not be attached to the results. You should not have attachment to the result. You are not the cause of the result. But you just have to do activity. That's what Krishna says. And that is Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay. Mate sangostu akarmani. Never be attached to not doing your duty. By thinking that the results are not yours anyways. Okay. Or fearing that the results might cause bondage. Oh, the result might cause bondage to me. They will avoid the prescribed duty. That's what Arjuna is doing. Arjuna, earlier in the first chapter, of course, as a part of this pastime, Arjuna thought that he will be the cause of the results of the war. And he will incur sin for that result. Right? When you think that you are the cause of the result, you will be stuck up in bondage also. Okay, so Arjuna thought that I am the cause of the death of all these people and that will give sinful reactions to me. But if Arjuna thinks that I am not the cause of their death, they are entitled to die and Krishna sanctioned it, I am an instrument, I am not the cause, I didn't do it, then he will not incur sin. If the conception of ourself being the cause of the result of some activity will entangle us in the reaction of that activity. Is it clear? So four lines. Karmani eva adhikaraste. You have the right to do your duty. Ma phaleshu kadachana. You are not entitled for the results. Ma karma phala hetur bhur. You are not the cause of the result. Ma te sangostu akarmani. You should not be attached to not doing the duty also. You should do the duty. So there are three things here. Karma, vikarma and akarma. Karma is what? Prescribed duties. Fine? That is karma. Whatever is prescribed to you, you do that. That is karma. As I said, karma can have multiple meanings in different contexts. We need to understand the context. Karma could be just activity. Karma could be fruitive activity. Means you are doing an activity expecting some fruits. Fruitive activity. Karma could be reaction to an activity. Karma could be the whole chain of actions and reactions. So karma word is used in various senses, we need to understand. So here we are discussing three terminologies, proper rites here. There are three considerations here. Prescribed duties, capricious work and inaction. What is that? Karma, prescribed duty. Number two, vikarma means capricious action. Means action that is done in a whimsical way without sanction of any authority. It's not prescribed to you. It is forbidden activity also sometimes. That is called vikarma. What you are supposed to do is karma. And what is vikarma? You are doing what you are not supposed to do. That is vikarma. And what is akarma? Is inaction. That is not performing your prescribed duties is akarma here. The word akarma in a different context means something else. When we come to third and fourth chapters, we will again discuss akarma. Action in inaction, inaction in action. In the fourth chapter that will come. When we come there, we will discuss more. But in this context, understand karma is prescribed action. Vikarma is forbidden action or capricious action. Then akarma is inaction, not doing your prescribed duty. Now, and that karma also could be multiple types. Karma is of three types. One is nitya karma. Means your regular duties, routine duties. Okay. Then second is kamya karma. Means your desired duties. You desire something and then do. For example, every day you may eat rice, dal, chapati, sabji. But sometimes you may eat halwa, gulab jamun also. That may not be there in everyday menu, but that may be there once in a week or once in 10 days like that. Fine? So, nitya karma is what you do regularly, and kamya karma is what you do occasionally based on your desire, not like an obligation. Nitya karma, whether you like it or not, you have to eat it. You have to do it. Kamya karma means you have a special desire and liking for it. That is kamya karma. Then third T is emergency karma, emergency duties. It is not your duty. It is not your prescribed duty. It is not your regular duty. And it is not the duty that you like also. It is some duty of someone else. But because that person is absent, you are doing it. That is emergency duty. Is it clear? So karma could be nitya karma, kamya karma, or emergency karma. That is prescribed activities. Fine? So karma is that. So it, by doing all these three, whether you do nitya karma or kamya karma or emergency karma. Kamya karma means you desire some activity which is bona fide, by the way, not any whimsical activity. it is nice duty to do desired activities. So by doing karma means basically by doing your prescribed duties, you are not incurring any sinful reaction. Clear? But by doing vikarma and akarma, one may get sin. Okay? So vikarma means by doing capricious action, you incur sinful activity, definitely. Then akarma means by not doing your prescribed duty, you will incur sin. You see? By not doing your prescribed duty. That is the sense in which the word akarma is mentioned here. So, karmanyeva adhikaraste, you have the right to perform activity. But akarma is inaction in a different context. But that akarma is considered superior to karma in a different context. Karma creates bondage when there is attachment. Akarma means, although you are acting, you are as good as not acting because you don't have attachment to it. So akarma word is used in that sense also. So in that sense, akarma is not sinful. That is divine. Okay? You are not doing any activity on a material plane. Karma on a material plane will cause bondage. Akarma means not doing any activity on a material plane will release you from bondage. But here the context is different. Here, karma is your prescribed duty. Akarma is not doing your prescribed duty. By doing your prescribed duty, you will not get sin. But by avoiding that prescribed duty, you will get sin. Is it clear? 48th verse. Yogastha kuru karmani.
Yogastha kuru karmani.
Sangam tyaktva dhananjaya.
Sangam tyaktva dhananjaya.
Siddhya siddhyoho samo bhutva.
Siddhya siddhyoho samo bhutva.
Samatvam yoga uchyate.
Samatvam yoga uchyate.
Yogastha kuru karmani. What is the actual way of doing work? The perfect and proper way of doing work? Yogastha means being situated in yoga. Kuru karmani, perform your duties being situated in yoga. Krishna doesn't specify what is that yoga. But ultimately, perform your duties with a mood to connect with the Supreme. Okay? Bhakti yoga or karma yoga or jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga. Basically, there should be some yoga element. Don't just work the way you want. Oh, it is prescribed, I will do. There is no yoga element there. There is only karma, there is no karma yoga. So, that is not the thing. Yogastha kuru karmani. Perform your activity being situated in a yoga. Sangam tyaktva dhananjaya. Then Krishna makes it more clear in the second verse. How you have to perform your duties? Sangam tyaktva. By giving up attachment to them. Sangam tyaktva dhananjaya. One more thing he says. Siddhi asiddhi samo bhutva. Siddhi means you get success. Asiddhi means you fail. Samo bhutva. Being equipoised towards success or failure, you should perform your duty. Samatvam yoga uchyate. That kind of yoga is, that kind of samatvam or equanimity is yoga, real yoga. So Krishna says here that you should perform your duty. 47th verse he said, you have the right to perform duty. You should not avoid your duty. Okay, but you are not entitled for the results. Okay. So, but how you should do the duty? Do the duty being situated in yoga, trying to connect with the Supreme. And you should not have any attachment in that yoga. And you should not be perturbed when success or failure comes. When success comes, you are too elated. When failure comes, you are too disappointed. No. Sangam tyaktva. Siddhi asiddhi samo bhutva. So, yoga is equanimity. Equanimity is yoga. That is real yoga. Real yoga means concentrating the mind on the Supreme by controlling the ever disturbing senses. And because the Supreme Lord Krishna himself is telling Arjuna to fight, Arjuna has to fight here. Last verse in this section. Durena yavaram karma.
Durena yavaram karma.
Buddhi yoga dhananjaya.
Buddhi yoga dhananjaya.
Buddhau sharanaman vichha.
Buddhau sharanaman vichha.
Kripanad falahetavaha.
Kripanad falahetavaha.
This is a very important verse that connects us to the next chapter, 49th shloka. Durena hi avaram karma. Karma is activity. Avaram karma is very lowly activity or abominable activity. Durena hi avaram karma. Keep aside. Stay far away from avaram karma, abominable activities. What does Krishna mean by saying this avaram karma? So Krishna meant that this avaram karma is sakama karma. Performing activity with attachment and with desire for results without knowledge. That is avaram karma. Because Krishna said, what kind of karma has to be performed? 47th verse. Karmanyevadhikaraste mafaleshu kadachana. You should not have any attachment to the results. You should not think that you are the cause of results. You should not be attached to not doing your duty also. That kind of karma you should perform. The opposite of that karma is avaram karma. Durenaha, stay far away from that sakama karma. Stay far away from fruitive karma, karma with attachment. So durena hi avaram karma. And how can you be so far from that avaram karma? Buddhi yoga dhananjaya. If you are fixed up in your buddhi yoga, if your intelligence is one focused and pointed, so this buddhi yoga is nishkama karma yoga. Or in the highest sense, it is bhakti yoga. Krishna is emphasizing nishkama karma yoga. So that buddhi yoga is nishkama karma yoga. Keeping in mind nishkama karma yoga, stay away from avaram karma. So you should not be having, you should not be doing sakama karma, you should be doing nishkama karma yoga. Because Krishna said, yogastaha guru karmani. So don't just do karma yoga. Okay? So if you do only karma, that is avaram karma. If you do karma yoga, that is nishkama karma yoga. Avaram karma, sakama karma, karma, they are one in that sense. Nishkama karma yoga, buddhi yoga, they are like one. And karma yoga, both are same, all three are same. So, durena hi avaram karma, buddhi yoga, dhananjaya. Buddhau sharanam anvichha, taking shelter of this buddhi, kripanat falahetavaha. Okay. Those who want to enjoy the fruits of activities are like kripana. Kripana means misers. Falahetavaha means if you are attached to phala of karma, then you are kripana. Don't be like a kripana. Stay far away from buddhi yoga. Stay far away from avaram karma, abominable activities. Okay, and do this karma yoga. Fine. So reject all abominable activities and be focused on your buddhi yoga or nishkama karma yoga. Fine. That's what Krishna said. So, having said all these things, Krishna is now giving the benefits of acting in buddhi yoga. 50th verse. Very nice. Buddhi yukto jahatita
ubhe
sukrita duskrite tasmad yogaya yujyasva yogaha karmasu kaushalam buddhi yukto jahatita ubhe sukrita duskrite. So when one is engaged in this buddhi yoga, buddhi yukta, yukta means being engaged in buddhi yoga. Prabhupada says buddhi yukta basically is performing bhakti yoga. Prabhupada gives highest explanation of the verse. So buddhi yukto, when you perform this buddhi yoga, what will happen? Ubhe sukrita duskrite tasmad yogaya yujyasva. You can get rid of sukrita duskrita, good and bad reactions of your activities in this life. Sukrita means good reaction and duskrita is bad reaction. You can give it up, all of them. So therefore engage in yoga without attachment, and that is the right way of performing yoga. Yogaha karmasu kaushalam. Kaushalam means being expertise. Okay, that is the real art of doing work. The art of all work is to be situated in your prescribed duty by performing it for the Supreme. Means not just doing your karma, prescribed action, doing karma yoga, doing that prescribed action as an offering to the Supreme Lord without any attachment to the results. That is yoga karma sukaushalam. This is the art of doing work. Everybody works, but those who know the art of doing work, work without attachment to the results as an offering to the Supreme. Is it clear? That is yoga karma sukaushalam. So if you want to identify the benefits of working like this nishkama karma yoga, basically it is freedom from reactions. Ubhe sukrita duskrite. You will not incur any good or bad reactions for your activities because you don't have attachment and you are doing it for Supreme. Okay? And that is prescribed for you. You are not doing someone else's activities. Okay? Clear? The result of performing karma yoga or nishkama karma yoga or buddhi yoga here is no reactions. Fine? 51. Karmajam buddhi yukta hi phalam tyatva manishinah janma bandha vinirmuktah padam gacchantya namayam. Karmajam buddhi yukta hi phalam tyatva manishinah. So buddhi yukta hi means being engaged in this buddhi yoga. Understand, buddhi yukta means engaged in buddhi yoga. Yukta is being engaged in. Okay, aligning to. So karmajam buddhi yukta hi phalam tyaktva manishinaha. Manisha is again great intelligence. So Krishna used these two words, buddhi yukta, manishina. With your intelligence, manisha, buddhi yukta, if you are engaged in buddhi yoga. And how? Phalam tyaktva karmajam. Karmajam means that which is born out of your activities. Karmajam. What is born out of your activities? Phalam. Reactions or results. Tyaktva. Give up them. So if you are engaged in buddhi yoga by giving up attachment to the results of your activities, what will happen? Krishna says, janma bandha vinirmuktaha. You will be freed from the bondage of birth and death cycle. Janma bandha vinirmukta. Not only you are freed from the birth and death cycle, he says, padam gacchanti anamayam. You will also attain the highest padam, the topmost abode, basically spiritual world. To summarize this word, this verse in the highest perspective, if you perform bhakti yoga, you will go back to Krishna Loka. You don't have to be here. You don't incur any reactions. Clear? Next. So, samashritaye padapallava plavam mahat padam punya yasho murarehe
భవాంబుధిర్ వత్స పదం 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 పరం పదం 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 యద్విపదం నతేషాం. దిస్ ఈస్ కమింగ్ ఇన్ ద 10th క్యాంటో 14th చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం. సో వన్ హూ ఈజ్ డెడికేటెడ్ టు ది డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ ఆఫ్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్, ఫర్ హిమ్ ఆర్ ఫర్ హర్, సో దెర్ ఇస్ నో బాండేజ్ ఆఫ్ కర్మ, బట్ దే విల్ గో టు సుప్రీం లార్డ్ అండ్ దెర్ ఇస్ నో డేంజర్ ఎట్ ఎవ్రీ స్టెప్. నెక్స్ట్ ప్రభుపాద్ రైట్స్ ఇన్ ద పర్పోర్ట్, ద మిజరీస్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్ నెమ్లీ బర్త్ డెత్ ఓల్డ్ ఏజ్ అండ్ డిసీజెస్ ఆర్ ప్రజెంట్ ఎవ్రీవేర్ విత్ ఇన్ ద మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్, బట్ వన్ హూ అండర్స్టాండ్స్ ద రియల్ కాన్స్టిట్యూషనల్ పొజిషన్ ఆఫ్ ది ఎటర్నల్ యాజ్ ది ఎటర్నల్ సర్విటర్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ అండ్ దిస్ నోస్ ది పొజిషన్ ఆఫ్ ది పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ ఎంగేజెస్ హిమ్సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ లవింగ్ సర్వీస్. సో ప్రభుపాద్ గివ్స్ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ భక్తి ఎక్స్ప్లెనేషన్ ఫర్ దిస్ వర్స్. 52nd వర్స్, యదాతే మోహ కలిలం బుద్ధేర్ వ్యతితరిష్యతి తదాగంతాసి నిర్వేదం శ్రోతవ్యస్య శృతస్య చ. యదాతే మోహ కలిలం, కలిలం మీన్స్ డెన్స్ ఫారెస్ట్, మోహ ఇస్ ఇల్యూషన్. సో కృష్ణ హియర్ సీ సేస్ if you are engaged in buddhi yoga, when your intelligence is crossed beyond this dense forest of delusion, yadate moha kalilam buddhir vyatitarishyati, by performing buddhi yoga your intelligence will surpass this moha kalilam, this forest of delusion. Basically the illusion that is present in this material world, Krishna compares it to a dense forest. Okay, you will come back, you will surpass that. Then he says tada gantasi nirvedam, nirveda means callousness, srotavyascha srutasya cha, nirveda means callous, then that such a person will become callous or indifferent or neutral. Callous is more harsh, indifferent is little milder, neutral is little more sober. Right, but all three mean the same here. Nirvedam తదా గంతాసి నిర్వేదం శ్రోతవ్యశ్చ శ్రుతస్య చ. యూ విల్ బికమ్ వెరీ న్యూట్రల్ అండ్ ఇండిఫరెంట్ అండ్ క్యాలస్ టు వాట్ హ్యాస్ బిన్ హెర్డ్ అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ టు బి హెర్డ్ అబౌట్ వాట్ ద ఫ్రూట్స్ ఆఫ్ యాక్షన్స్ మెన్షన్ ఇన్ ద వేదాస్. బేసికల్లీ ద జిస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద వెర్స్ ఈస్ ద వేదిక్ యునో ఫ్లవరీ వర్డ్స్ ప్రజెంట్ సో మెనీ ఎల్యూర్మెంట్స్, యూ కీప్ హీరింగ్ దెమ్, యూ గెట్ అట్రాక్టెడ్ టు దెమ్. So you will be devoid of that attraction of Vedic allurements when you are fixed up in Bhakti Yoga. Is it clear? Tada gantasi nirvedam. Sanskrit is, the Sanskrit of Bhagavad Gita is relatively little simpler. If you go to the word-to-word meaning presented by Prabhupada and then try to correlate it with translation in the verse, you will can get familiar. At least some select verses you should be familiar, if not all verses. సో యదాతే మోహకలిలం బుద్ధిర్వ్యతితరిష్యతి, బై యువర్ బుద్ధి యూ కెన్ ఈజీలీ క్రాస్ ఓవర్ దిస్ డెన్స్ ఫారెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ డిల్యూషన్ విచ్ ఇస్ క్రియేటెడ్ బై ద మెటీరియల్ ఎంజాయ్మెంట్ ప్రజెంటెడ్ బై ద వేదిక్ థింగ్స్. ఓకే, నౌ దెర్ ఆర్ మెనీ గుడ్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్స్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్స్ ఆఫ్ గ్రేట్ డివోటీస్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్, ఆఫ్ దోస్ హూ బికేమ్ ఇండిఫరెంట్ టు ద రిచువల్స్ ఆఫ్ వేదాస్. So one can be indifferent to the Vedic rituals and ceremonies and this and that by being fixed up in Bhakti Yoga. Now Prabhupada quotes this beautiful verse from Madhavendra Puri. Sandhya vandana bhadramastu bhavato bhosnana tubhyam namo. Sandhya vandana bhadramastu bhavato bhosnana tubhyam namo. భో దేవా పితరశ్చ తర్పణ విధో నాహ క్షమ క్షామ్యతాం. యత్ర క్వాపి నిషద్య యాదవ కులోత్తం సస్య కంస ద్విష. స్మారం స్మారం అఘం హరామి తదలం మన్యే కి మన్యే నమే. లాంగ్ వర్స్, మేబీ ఎ బిట్ డిఫికల్ట్, వెరీ స్వీట్ వర్స్. హియర్ దిస్ ఇస్ ఎ బ్యూటిఫుల్ వర్స్ ఫ్రమ్ మాధవేంద్రపురి.
So in this context, Prabhupada is basically saying that when you are very advanced, you will become oblivious to the rituals, Vedic rituals, very trivial things. Sandhya vandana bhadramastu bhavato bho snana tubhyam namo. Oh Sandhya vandan, bhadramastu bhavato, may there be auspiciousness unto you. Bho snana tubhyam namo. For example, a brahmachari or a devotee, they may have to do Sandhya Vandan 3 times a day, and they may have to take bath 3 times a day. Bho snana tubhyam namo. Fine, I offer my obeisances. Okay, my respects to you. I may not be able to follow all this. Bho devaha pitarascha tarpana vidhau. He says, there are so many rules and regulations for offering tarpana to pitris, oblations to forefathers. Naha kshamaha kshamyatam. Kshamta nahi, kshama karo. So I have no capacity to follow all these rituals anymore. Please excuse me from all this. Naha kshamaha kshamyatam. Vayatra kvapi nishadya yadavakulo tamsasya kamsadvisha. There is that Supreme Personality of Godhead who is the Lord of Yadukula. Okay, I worship that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He is kamsadvisha, he has killed kamsa. Smaram smaram aghami, smaram smaram harami. I will remember that personality of Godhead and I will vanquish all my sinful activities. Agham harami tadalam manye ki manye name. What is the necessity for anything else? So someone who is very much rooted in deep absorption in remembrance of Krishna, they can surpass all Vedic rituals and rules and regulations. But not everyone, by the way. So in this context, Prabhupada is giving this verse. Sandhya vandana bhadramastu bhavato bho snana tubhyam namo bho deva pitarascha tarpana vidho naha kshama kshamyatam yatra kvapi nishadya yadavakulo tamsasya kamsadvisha smaram smaram agham harami tadalam manye ki manye name. 53rd verse. Shruti vipratipannate yada sthasyasi nishchalam samadhavachala buddhihi tada yogam avapsyasi. Shruti vipratipannate yada sthasyasi nishchala. So here he says, when you are nishchala, means there is no chalan, there is no deviation, right? Nishchala means very fixed up. Shruti viprati pannate yada sthasyasi nishchala. When your intelligence is very much fixed up and no longer disturbed by shruti, by the allurements of Vedas, okay? Then samadhav achala buddhi, when you are fixed up in your samadhi, that is achala buddhi, not at all wavering, your intelligence is not at all wavering, that is rooted up in your understanding of buddhi yoga, then tada yogam avapsasi, such a person can get the divine consciousness of yoga. Okay, so that is the status of jivan mukta. Although such a person is living, he or she is liberated. Fine. So when there is fixed intelligence and one is not allured by the the flowery language of Vedas, he is nishchala, he is achala buddhi, he is in samadhi, such a person is in divine consciousness. Prabhupada writes in the purport, to say that one is in samadhi means to say that one has fully realized Krishna consciousness. That is the highest samadhi, of course. Okay, so these are the benefits of bhakti yoga. No reactions for your actions, no birth and death cycle, and one will become indifferent to the Vedas, one will be more and more fixed up in his intelligence. He gets achala buddhi and he will be in trance, samadhi. Achala buddhi and samadhi are the keywords in the 53rd verse that will connect us to the next section, which we will discuss in the next session. Thank you. Hare Krishna. This is direct, huh?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
There's no experience? But nowadays, speaker is doing well. No disturbance due to speaker. Sakasubal Road Gorjan. Oh, he also?
So your weekend service is done? Somebody fixed it?
No, right? Not yet. Because you wanted to travel, that's why we just... Fine.
58 to 53, means 15 verses we discussed.
We are understanding the flow. So far, whatever we have discussed is... You are grasping it. So two chapters are over, we'll have an exam. The standard is one exam for six chapters, but let's have one on two chapters. What do you say? Huh? Three. We'll have two chapters in the first six chapters. In the first module, we'll have three exams. 1, 2, then 3, 4, then 4, 5, 6. When it comes to Bhakti Yoga, it becomes easy. Then we will have 3 chapters exams. Fine? Make sense? The second chapter is too exhaustive. Third also is little complicated. Fourth, half is easy. Half is also a bit... then... So... In one exam, we should have one reasonable amount. Is it cool? What do you say? We'll get some light. Okay, whatever you say, you are the boss. Yes, you are saying something.
Other
cool.
You break up the shloka and then you like, use the meaning and all. We want to learn that meaning. How?
It's there. Nothing to learn. You see, suppose that's what I do. This is how I learn the shloka. I get familiar to the shloka only when I do like this. Not every shloka is possible. And some shloka it's not possible to do also, line by line. Because you have to connect the last line to the first line. So there what I do, you see, 39th verse. I gave the full verse here and I gave key Sanskrit words in the brackets. I gave the translation because English, when you are making a sentence, it may not exactly follow the Sanskrit way of making sentence. Yeah, it's anvai. That's a poetry. Verse has a license of not being following the sequence. Okay, it's not prose, na? Sometimes it's possible. So, ये देख के जितना सीख सकते उतना सीख लो सीख सकते Yeah, it's easy. Basically, the way you learn, that way only you can tell others also. This is how I try to learn from Prabhupada's books. I see word-to-word meaning, I see translation also. I merge both of them and then try to make a sentence, line by line. Rajeshwar Prabhu also likes this, line by line translation. Okay, Hare Krishna. Another exciting section. So we will begin. So far in the second chapter, we have discussed up to 53rd verse. So Krishna initially spoke from 11th to 30th verses, Jnana or Sankhya, the analytical knowledge of matter and spirit. Means body and soul. Next he spoke about Sakama Karma, doing your prescribed duty that results in enjoyment. Next he spoke about Buddhi Yoga or Nishkama Karma Yoga. That is, doing your prescribed duty with knowledge and with detachment as an offering to the Supreme. That is Nishkama Karma Yoga. So we discussed up to this point. And now, we will discuss the next section. In the 53rd shloka, Krishna spoke that someone who is in bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, he has achala buddhi. Achala buddhi means fixed up intelligence. Samadhi, he is in trance, right? Fixed up intelligence and trance. Hearing this, Arjuna wanted to know the symptoms of such a person who has such fixed up intelligence. What is the nature of a person who is having achala buddhi? That is his question. Achala means fixed up and not wavering, very steady. Sthita, intelligence or buddhi, it can also be called prajna. Sthita prajna or achala buddhi, same. Are you getting the transition? It's only the language change. Krishna spoke about achala buddhi in the 53rd verse, and Arjuna would ask about the symptoms of a person who is a sthita prajna, one who is fixed up in that achala buddhi. Is it clear? Achala buddhi means fixed intelligence. Sthita prajna means one who is situated in that steady intelligence. Okay? That is Krishna's speciality. One who knows this language, for him it is not a very big deal. So Prabhupada is helping us to understand, the get familiar with that language. Okay, achala buddhi sthita prajna is very same for someone who knows Sanskrit. But for us it may be difficult. After 100 years it will become more difficult. After 1000 years, we don't know intelligence, whether people will understand intelligence also, we don't know. Okay. Anyways, so now Krishna, Arjuna is starting. 54th shloka. Arjuna uvacha sthita prajnasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshava sthita dhir kim prabhasheta kimasita vrajeta kim. Arjuna is asking, sthita prajnasya ka bhasha. Bhasha could literally mean language, but here bhasha means symptoms. Sthita prajnasya ka bhasha, what are the symptoms of a sthita prajna? As we discussed, sthita prajna is one who is having fixed intelligence, or he is a self-realized soul, or he is a jivan mukta, a liberated person, although he is living still in this world in a body, one who is in divine consciousness. That is sthita prajna. What are such a person's symptoms? Okay, first question. Second question. Arjuna says, samadhistasya keshava sthita dhihi kim prabhasheta. Kim prabhasheta means how does he speak? Bhasha is language. Prabhasha means speaking a language. So, kim bhasha means what are his symptoms? Second, kim prabhasheta means how does he speak? What does it actually mean? On receiving praise or blame, or affection or hate, what will he say externally or internally? What does it mean? Kim prabhasheta, how does he respond to dualities? What are his symptoms and how does he respond to dualities? Two questions. Third question, kimasita. Literally it means, how does he sit? But in spirit what it means is, how does he restrain his senses from sense objects? Sitting is compared to sense control. Fourth, kim vrajeta, how does he walk? Okay, so how does he walk means, how does he respond to the sense objects? So, sitting, kim asita, sitting means restraining sense objects. Although you may restrain your senses from sense objects, but it's not possible to always keep your senses not coming in contact with sense objects at all. At some point, senses have to come in contact with sense objects, is it not? So, definitely for a sthita prajna also, there is interaction with sense objects. So, kim vrajeta, how does he walk, means how does he interact with the sense objects? Is it clear? Four questions. First question, kim ka bhasha, means what are his symptoms. Second question, kim prabhasheta, how does he respond to dualities in this world. Third, kim asita, how does he control his senses. Then kim vrajeta, how does he respond to sense objects. Clear? Four questions asked by Arjuna. The rest of the chapter is dedicated to Krishna's answers to these four questions. First question is answered in the 55th verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Prajahati Yada Kaman, Sarvan Parthamano Gatan, Atmanyevatmana Tushtaha, Sthita Prajnasta Dochyate, Prajahati Yada Kaman. Very important verse. You can memorize this verse also. So, prajahati yada kaman means one who gives up all kinds of kama, material desires. Prajahati, prajahati, completely gives up all the material desires. Next, sarvan partha manogatan. Sarvan means all desires. O partha, manogatan, all these desires are arising from the mind. The combined translation of both lines is, one who gives up the material desires which are arising from the mind is a sthitapragna. What is the symptom of sthitapragna? The first two lines say, the sthitapragna gives up all material desires arising from the mind. Third line, atmani evatmana tushtaha. He is satisfied within. Atmana tushtaha. Atmani eva atmana tushtaha. He is satisfied with himself. He doesn't need anything beyond himself for his satisfaction. So, he realized his self as a spirit soul, a spiritual being. And in such spiritual happiness, he is satisfied. He doesn't need anything beyond that. Sthita pragnaha tada uchyate. Such a person is called sthita pragna. What are the symptoms of Siddhaprajna? Krishna spoke two things. One, he has given up all material desires arising from the mind. Second, he is satisfied within. He doesn't look for satisfaction outside. Two symptoms of Siddhaprajna. So Prabhupada writes, the highly developed soul always remains satisfied in himself, realizing himself as eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada is presenting this in a very beautiful manner from the bhakti perspective. Who can be such a sthitapragna? Who can be such a self-satisfied soul? The Supreme Lord is called Atmarama. In the 5th canto, 1st chapter, a devotee is also described as Atmarama. Atmarama basically means self-satisfied. The Supreme Lord is Atmarama, he is self-satisfied. The devotee is also called Atmarama because he is self-satisfied in satisfying the self-satisfied. Because he seeks satisfaction in satisfying the self-satisfied Lord, he himself is also self-satisfied. He doesn't need anything beyond that to satisfy himself. The soul is eternally a servant of Krishna. Jivera Swarupohai Krishnera Nitya Das. Okay. So that dasatva is the eternal quality of Krishna, and that service attitude is inherently a part of this person's system. Is it not? So one who is satisfied in being in that position as a servant of Krishna, he is actually a self-satisfied person. Satisfied within yourself means you are satisfied with what you have. And what you are, you don't need anything else. What you are a servant of Krishna. What you have service of Krishna. When you are satisfied in being a servant of Krishna, doing service to Krishna, you are a self-satisfied person. Fine? Very beautiful verse.
ప్రజహాతి యదా కామాన్ సర్వాన్ పార్థమనోగతాన్ ఆత్మన్యేవాత్మనా తుష్టః స్థిత ప్రజ్ఞస్తదోచ్యతే.
సో హి కృష్ణ ఆన్సర్ ది ఫస్ట్ క్వశ్చన్ ఆఫ్ అర్జున. వాట్ ఈస్ ద ఫస్ట్ క్వశ్చన్? వాట్ ఆర్ ది సిమ్టమ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎ స్థిత ప్రజ్ఞ? సెకండ్ క్వశ్చన్ హీ విల్ ఆన్సర్ నౌ ఇన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ టూ వర్సెస్. 56 and 57 ఆర్ ఆన్సర్ టు ద సెకండ్ క్వశ్చన్. వాట్ వాజ్ ద సెకండ్ క్వశ్చన్ ఆఫ్ అర్జున? కిం ప్రభాషేత, హౌ డస్ హీ రెస్పాండ్ టువర్డ్స్ ది డ్యుయాలిటీస్? హీ ఆన్సర్స్ దుఃఖేషు అనుద్విగ్న మన సుఖేషు విగత స్పృహ వీతరాగ భయ క్రోధ స్థిత ధీర్మునిరుచ్యతే. దుఃఖేషు అనుద్విగ్న మనః, దుఃఖ మీన్స్ డిస్ట్రెస్, ఉద్విగ్న మీన్స్ బీయింగ్ యాంక్షియస్, వరీయింగ్, రైట్, డిస్టర్బ్డ్. అనుద్విగ్న మీన్స్ నాట్ బీయింగ్ డిస్టర్బ్డ్. దుఃఖేషు అనుద్విగ్న మనః మీన్స్ ఎ స్థిత ప్రజ్ఞస్ మైండ్ ఈజ్ నాట్ డిస్టర్బ్డ్ బై ఎనీ డిఫికల్టీస్ ఆర్ డిస్ట్రెస్ ఆర్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ ఆర్ మిజరీస్ ఇన్ లైఫ్. ఓకే, నో డిస్టర్బెన్స్ ఇన్ డిఫికల్టీస్, ఫస్ట్ క్వాలిటీ. నెక్స్ట్, సుఖేషు విగత స్పృహ. సుఖ ఈజ్ హ్యాపీనెస్. విగత స్పృహ మీన్స్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఓవర్ ఎక్సైటెడ్ ఆర్ ఎలేటెడ్. ఓకే, సో ద క్వశ్చన్ ఈజ్ హౌ డస్ హీ రెస్పాండ్ టు డ్యుయాలిటీస్? కృష్ణ ఇస్ ఆన్సరింగ్ డ్యుయాలిటీస్ ఆర్ సుఖ అండ్ దుఃఖ. వెన్ దుఃఖ కమ్స్ ద స్థిత ప్రజ్ఞ ఇస్ నాట్ డిస్టర్బ్డ్. వెన్ సుఖ కమ్స్ ద స్థిత ప్రజ్ఞ ఇస్ నాట్ అన్డ్యూలీ ఎలేటెడ్ ఆర్ ఓవర్ ఎక్సైటెడ్. థర్డ్, వీత రాగ భయ క్రోధ. హీ గివ్స్ అప్ వి రాగ అటాచ్మెంట్, భయ ఫియర్, క్రోధ యాంగర్. సో డివైడ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వి రాగ భయ అండ్ క్రోధ హీ సిచ్యుయేటెడ్. స్థితధీర్ ముని రుచ్యతే, వన్ సచ్ సిమ్టమ్స్ ఆర్ దేర్ సచ్ ఎ పర్సన్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ స్థితధీర్ ముని. స్థిత ప్రజ్ఞ వి డిస్కస్డ్, వాట్ ఈస్ స్థితధీర్? సేమ్, ప్రజ్ఞ ఇస్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్, ధీ ఈజ్ ఆల్సో ఇంటెలిజెన్స్. సో స్థితధీర్ అండ్ స్థిత ప్రజ్ఞ బోత్ ఆర్ సేమ్. అర్జున ఆస్క్డ్ అబౌట్ స్థిత ప్రజ్ఞ అండ్ కృష్ణ స్పీకింగ్ అబౌట్ స్థితధీ, వాట్ ఈస్ దిస్ హ్యాపనింగ్? నో, బోత్ ఆర్ సేమ్. ఓకే, స్థితధీర్ మునిర్ ఉచ్యతే. కృష్ణ యాడెడ్ ద వర్డ్ ముని. వాట్ ఈస్ ఎ ముని? ముని బేసికల్లీ మీన్స్ వన్ హూ ఇస్ వెరీ థాట్ఫుల్. హీ కెన్ థింక్ ఆర్ స్పెక్యులేట్ ఇన్ వేరియస్ వేస్. ఓకే, నాసా ఋషిర్యస్య మతం న భిన్నం, దేర్ ఇస్ వన్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ వర్స్. అన్లెస్ యూ డిజగ్రీ విత్ అనదర్ థింకర్, యూ కెనాట్ బి కాల్డ్ ఎ థింకర్. ఓకే, సో ఎ ముని ఈజ్ ఎ పర్సన్ హూ ఈస్ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ థింకింగ్ అండ్ స్పెక్యులేటింగ్ అండ్ హీ వుడ్ ఆల్సో ట్రై టు కౌంటర్ ది ఒపీనియన్స్ ఆర్ థాట్స్ ఆఫ్ అదర్ పీపుల్ ఆల్సో. సచ్ ఎ పర్సన్ ఈజ్ కాల్డ్ ముని. బట్ దిస్ ముని ఈజ్ స్థితధీర్ ముని, ఫిక్స్డ్ అప్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్. He's not speculative. His intelligence is not going here and there. He's thoughtful definitely, but his thoughts are fixed up on the highest knowledge. Sthita dhir munir uchyate. Sthita means steady. Muni. Muni is generally little fickle in one sense because he constantly speculates. Prabhupada writes like that. Different angles of vision. Esadika, esadika. From all different angles. బట్ స్థితధీర్ ముని మీన్స్ వన్ హీస్ హ్యావింగ్ ఫిక్స్డ్ అప్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్, దట్ ఈస్ అచలా బుద్ధి. కృష్ణ కంటిన్యూస్ ద ఆన్సర్. ఇహ సర్వత్రానభిస్నేహ తత్తత్ప్రాప్య శుభాశుభం నాభినందతి నద్వేష్టి తస్య ప్రజ్ఞా ప్రతిష్ఠిత. ఇహ సర్వ సర్వత్ర అనభిస్నేహ, స్నేహ ఈజ్ ఎఫెక్షన్. అనభిస్నేహ మీన్స్ నాట్ హ్యావింగ్ అన్డ్యూ ఎఫెక్షన్. ఫర్ వాట్? సర్వత్ర. యహ సర్వత్ర అనభిస్నేహ, హీఈస్ నాట్ హ్యావింగ్ అన్డ్యూ ఎఫెక్షన్ ఆర్ అటాచ్మెంట్ టువర్డ్స్ ఎనీథింగ్ ఎల్స్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్. హీఈస్ అన్ఎఫెక్టెడ్ ఎవ్రీవేర్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్, అన్ఎఫెక్టెడ్. ఓకే, సో మీన్స్ అనభిస్నేహ ఈజ్ రిఫరింగ్ టు హ్యావింగ్ ఎ స్పెసిఫిక్ ఎఫెక్షన్ for a specific person or specific object. Means Sthitadhir Muni is not attached to a specific person or specific object unduly. I like iPhone only, I don't want anything else. I like this person only, I don't want anything anyone else. It's not like he's not having any undue affection. He's neutral. But definitely this person has a quality of compassion and general affection he has. He's not like a stone or impersonalist, not having any sneha towards anyone. You understand? Yaha sarvatra anabhisneha means, it's not that a sthitapragna or a devotee does not have affection for anyone. He does not have undue affection for an object or a person, very specific. Means he's not selfish, he's not self-centered, he's not possessive about some things only. He is broad-minded, he has a general compassion, mercy and affection for all living entities. Right? He is suhurdam sarva bhutanam. Okay? Next line. Nabhinandati nadveshti. He does not praise something unduly, he does not despise something unduly. Nabhinandati nadveshti. No love, no hate. Love is there in a generic sense. Definitely love is there for Krishna, love is there for devotees. But undue material affection is not there towards specific and particular objects. Is it clear? So this is how he would respond to dualities. Okay? So two verses Krishna spoke about how Sthitapragna responds to dualities. Next. So two questions are answered. What was the first question? What are the symptoms of Sthitapragna? Answer is, he has given up all material desires and he is self-satisfied. Second question of Arjuna, how does a Sthitapragna respond to dualities? He gave answers. He does not praise something too much. He does not get despised. He does not hate something. Or he is not elated in happiness. And he is not so discouraged in difficulties. He is neutral. So he is... The response to dualities is, in one word, equanimity or neutrality. Okay. Next, third question. What was the third question? How does he restrain his senses? Third topic is about Sthitapragna sense control. 58th sloka, Krishna says. It's very elaborately Krishna gives this answer. Sense control is a very important element for spiritual sadhana. All spiritual seekers should especially be sense-controlled, right? So Krishna elaborates on it. Yada samharate chayam,
yada samharate chayam,
kurmongani va sarvashah,
kurmongani va sarvashah,
indriyan indriyat tebhyah,
indriyan indriyat tebhyah,
tasya pragna pratishthita,
tasya pragna pratishthita.
So Krishna is speaking about the sense control of Sthitapragna. Yada samharate chayam kurmo angani iva sarvashah. Kurma is what? Tortoise. Okay. Angani iva sarvashah. Anga means bodily limbs. Sarvashah means all bodily limbs. Yada means just like. Just like a tortoise withdraws all its bodily limbs within its shell. Yada samharate chayam kurmo angani iva sarvashaha indriyani indriyarthebhyaha tasya pragna pratishthita. Sthitapragna also withdraws his senses from sense objects. How? Just like a tortoise withdraws his limbs within the shell. Clear? Krishna just gave an example at this stage. So one has to withdraw one's senses from the sense objects. Just like a tortoise withdraws the limbs within the shell. That is the answer. Okay. But Krishna doesn't just stop there. The answer is not yet complete. So there should be an ability to withdraw senses from sense objects also. The kurma or the tortoise does it so naturally. Kurma withdraws the limbs within the shell very naturally and spontaneously. But a conditioned soul cannot naturally and spontaneously withdraw senses from sense objects. That requires a lot of practice. Is it not? So, how is it possible? Krishna does not complete the answer in 58th verse only. How is it possible to withdraw senses from the sense objects? When we have a higher taste. Okay? Senses will stop, for example, mouth will stop eating some palatable food only when there is an alternative. Oh, this palatable food is not very conducive for your health. Okay, you should not eat so many sweets made of sugar. It's too much. Oh, then I like sweets. What can I do if I can't eat sugar? Then they will have this kadi shakkar, you know. Kadi shakkar means rock candy. Right, that is considered a little safer than this processed sugar. Or jaggery is considered a little safer. Good, jaggery. That is considered a little safer than this sugar. So people will give an alternate. Okay, you can take jaggery a little bit. Okay. So when there is a higher taste, when there is a better alternative, then one can give up these things that are detrimental to us. I am not a medical man. Don't take this example in a different way. Okay. I am a patient, I am not a doctor. So, senses can be withdrawn from the sense objects provided when there is higher taste for the senses. A child is, say, playing with mobile phone. Hey, the radiation will affect the child. You should not give mobile to the child. Take away the child. Take away the mobile from the child's hand. The child is crying. So instead of taking away the mobile from child's hand, you have to take it, of course. You should give some other small toy which is not harming him with radiation. Okay, you can give some other toy of say some doll. Then he can play, the boy can play, the girl can play. So that is not harmful. Similarly, only when the senses have an experience of higher taste can they relinquish the lower tastes. Krishna describes that in the 59th verse. Vishaya vinivartante
niraharasya dehinah
rasavarjam rasopyasya
param drishtva nivartate
vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinah So although the embodied soul may practice restricting senses from sense objects, Niraharasya. Dehi. Deha is body. Dehi is person who is living in the body, that is soul. Right? Niraharasya. Ahara means generally food. Nirahara. Vishaya vinivartante means, Vishaya means sense objects. Vinivartante. You are trying to withdraw your senses from the sense objects by making them Nirahara. For mouth, Ahara is food. But Ahara is not just food always. Ahara means any sense object. So for food is ahara for mouth or tongue. And some nice music is ahara for ears. A very beautiful object is ahara for the eyes. Right? Some nice fragrance is ahara for the nose. So vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinaha. So to restrain the senses from the sense objects, from their ahara, is not possible very easily. Rasavarjam rasopyasya. Although you withdraw the senses, the taste for the senses will remain. A diabetes patient may not eat sweets because there is a restriction. But his desire to eat sweets is there. As soon as the doctor says, now you can eat sweets, you will immediately eat sweets. Okay, now you can eat fried items, you will immediately eat fried items. If not immediately, after some time. Okay? So the taste for sense objects will remain. So Krishna just gave an example. Okay, just like tortoise withdraws the limbs within the shell, he also controls your senses from sense objects. Done. He did not stop there. Although you try to control, the taste is still there. So, how can you control senses from sense objects when there is a higher taste? Param drishtva nivartate. But one can cease from it by experiencing a higher taste. So sense control by substandard processes. What is this higher taste? Someone will say, you meditate, you do this, you do that. But the highest taste is Krishna Bhakti. When the senses are engaged in various activities of Bhakti Yoga, then there is definitely control of senses. So Prabhupada writes that details in the 61st sloka purport. So when we come to 61st sloka purport, then we will discuss more of it. How can the senses be given higher taste? The senses have the urge to engage in some functions. If they are engaged in material enjoyment, that will cause entanglement. But if they are engaged in spiritual activities, then there is no engagement, there is no entanglement, there is only liberation. So, what is that engagement for senses? Spiritual engagement for senses, Prabhupada writes in the 61st purport. Before that, we will complete the other things. So, 60th sloka. One more point is, developing a higher taste is the secret of success. Okay. So when can one develop higher taste? One can develop higher taste in contact with a person who has higher taste already. So as we said, as we discussed, higher taste is there in various activities of Bhakti Yoga. So for us to develop higher taste in Bhakti Yoga, we need to submit to a person who has that higher taste, that is Guru. Guru has a lot of taste in performing bhakti to Krishna, and Guru can teach us how to perform bhakti. When we hear from Guru, when we observe the activities of Guru, when we learn from Guru, when we ask questions from Guru, so the Guru will teach us how to engage in bhakti yoga and how to cultivate that higher taste so that we can relinquish the lower tastes. Okay, so Krishna consciousness requires training by a Krishna conscious person. 60th sloka. Yatato hyapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitah indriyani pramadhini haranti prasabham manah. Yatato hyapi kaunteya means yatata, means you are trying so hard. Oh Kaunteya, although one endeavors a lot to control his senses, purushasya vipaschitaha. Vipaschitaha means a person who has discrimination. Earlier we discussed about avipaschitaha. Now we are discussing about vipaschitaha. Someone who has a lot of intelligence and he has a sense of discrimination also, he is trying to control his senses also, but indriyani pramathini, the senses are extremely strong. A person is already intelligent, he has a lot of knowledge, and he is also trying to control his senses, but still because the senses are so strong, he may sometimes give in to sense enjoyment. Right? So, haranti prasabham manaha, they will forcefully carry away the mind. Mind is supposed to control the senses. Mind is compared to the reins of the horses, and horses are compared to the senses. But sometimes the horses are so strong that the reins cannot control the horses. Similarly, sometimes the senses are so strongly attracted to sense objects that they carry away the mind. Haranti prasabham manaha. Although one is trying to control them. You see? So basically in this particular verse, Krishna is saying that even the wise people, learned people also get distracted by senses. That means a sthita prajna is very rare. It's very rare to find a sthita prajna. These are all symptoms of sthita prajna, right? Qualities of sthita prajna. Such a person is very rare. Even an intelligent person is trying to control the senses, his senses are carrying away, taking him away. Okay? Next. Haranti prasabham manaha. So, 61st verse, Krishna says, Tani sarvani samyamya yukta
ఆసీతమత్పరః వశేహి యస్యేంద్రియాణి తస్య ప్రజ్ఞా ప్రతిష్ఠిత. ఫర్ ద ఫస్ట్ టైమ్ ఇన్ గీత సో ఫార్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ డైరెక్ట్లీ స్పీకింగ్ భక్తి యోగ. సో ఫార్ సో మెనీ వర్సెస్ ఆర్ రిలేటెడ్ టు భక్తి యోగ, బట్ కృష్ణ నెవర్ యూజ్డ్ హిజ్ ఓన్ నేమ్ నార్ ద వర్డ్ భక్తి. ఓకే, హీ డిడ్ నాట్ యూజ్ ద వర్డ్ భక్తి సో మచ్ అండ్ హీ డిడ్ నాట్ సే మీ. భక్తి ఇస్ టు బి పెర్ఫార్మ్ టు కృష్ణ. ఫర్ ద ఫస్ట్ టైమ్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ మత్ పరహ, దిస్ ఇస్ ద భక్తి యోగ వర్స్. తాని సర్వాణి సంయమ్య, వన్ హూ ట్రైస్ టు కంట్రోల్ హిస్ సెన్సెస్, సంయమ్య మీన్స్ కంట్రోలింగ్ సెన్సెస్, యుక్త ఆసీత మత్ పరహ బై ఫిక్సింగ్ హిస్ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఆన్ మీ. ఆన్ మీ, మత్ మీన్స్ మీ, పరహ మీన్స్ టోటల్లీ డెడికేటెడ్ టు మీ. దిస్ ఇస్ భక్తి యోగ. మీన్స్ కృష్ణ ఈజ్ క్లియర్లీ ఇండికేటింగ్ దట్ యువర్ అటెంప్ట్ టు కంట్రోల్ సెన్సెస్ by any method will only prove futile if you don't take shelter of me. You see, only taking shelter of Krishna by the process of bhakti yoga can he make us sense controlled. Otherwise one may be sense controlled for a while, but when there is an opportunity one may give in to senses also. Okay, so vashehi yashendriyani, he has to keep his senses fully under control. You should try. And by bhakti yoga, by Krishna's mercy, one will be able to be successful also in doing that. Initially, in the initial stages of practicing bhakti, in the practice stage, sometimes the senses may distract us. But if we stick to the process, without deviating from the process, we will one day make it. For example, somebody is trying to ride a cycle. A small child is trying to ride a cycle. He is not very tall. Okay. He tries to ride the cycle by putting his leg on the pedal from, he takes the seat of the cycle in his armpit and then tries to hold the handle like this and then tries to drive like this somehow. So one day, his legs are not very tall enough. One day he will try to get on the seat and then try to pedal the cycle, but he may fall down. Okay? But again he will get up, he may have some small wounds also on his knees. But he will get up and then try to ride the cycle again. For example, you see a small baby. So baby is trying to walk, just few months old, maybe 6 months or 1 year old, trying to walk, and then the baby may fall off, and then the mother will give the finger. Okay, the baby will catch the finger like this and then try to walk few steps. The mother will leave the finger support. The baby will walk 2-3 steps and then fall off. And again the baby will try to get up. So in the practice stage, sometimes one may fail to exhibit this sense control sometimes. So but one should stick to the process and then endeavor more and more. Okay, so then one will be able to make it. Okay, so vashehi yashendriyani tasya prajna pratishthita. So he is speaking about prajna pratishthita. Pratishthita means being fixed up, rooted in prajna, intelligence. So sthita prajna is one who is fixed up in his intelligence. But the highest explanation of this word sthita prajna is one who is a devotee of Krishna. Because it is only a devotee of Krishna who can be really fixed up in his eternal intelligence as a servant of Krishna. Okay. In this purport, Prabhupada writes very beautifully about mind control. The sthita prajna not only controls the senses, but also controls the mind and focuses it on Krishna. It's not about controlling senses. Okay, sense is going this way, pull it, keep it here. Eyes are going like that, oh no, close the eyes. Fragrance is coming, nose is going like, close the nose. It's not about restricting the senses. As I said earlier, parandrishtva nivartate and yukta asita matparaha. You should give them a higher taste. In the previous verse we discussed it. Now Krishna says, what is that higher taste? Matparaha. Being fixed up in Krishna consciousness is the highest taste. Not higher taste, highest taste. Okay.
So what is that engagement? Prabhupada gives the example of Ambarish Maharaj. Savai manah krishna padaravindayor vachamsi vaikuntha guna anuvarnane karau harer mandiram arjanadishu srutim chakara chuta satkathodaye. So how did Ambarish Maharaj engage his senses? Savai manah krishna padaravindayor. Ambarish Maharaj engaged his mind in the lotus feet of Krishna. Okay. Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanu Varnane. Ambarish Maharaj engaged his tongue in glorifying Krishna. Okay. Next, Karau Harer Mandira Marjanadishu. He used his hands in cleaning the temple of Krishna and doing so many other services with hands. Next, Shrutim Chakara Achyuta Satkathodaye. Shruti, he used his ears to hear Achyuta Katha, the glories of the Supreme Lord Achyuta. Mukunda Linga Laya Darshane Drishau Tadbhritya Gatra Sparshanga Sangamam Gharanam Chatatpada Saroja Saurabhe Shri Matulasya Rasanam Tadarpite. He says, Mukunda Lingalaya Darshane Drishav. He satisfied his eyes, he engaged his eyes in seeing the beautiful deity form of Krishna in the temple. Next, Tad Bhritya Gatra Sparsha Angasangamam. He satisfied his sense of touch by touching the bodies and the lotus feet of pure Vaishnavas. Okay. Next, Ghranam Cha Tat Pada Saroja Saurabhi. He engaged his nose in smelling the beautiful lotus, beautiful tulsi leaves offered to the lotus feet of Krishna. So when we smell the tulsi aroma coming from the lotus feet of Krishna, then that is the right engagement for the nose. Even four Kumaras were also transformed into great devotees by smelling the fragrance coming from the lotus feet of Krishna, the tulsi leaves offered to the lotus feet of Vishnu. Tasya ravinda nayanasya padaravinda kinjalka mishra tulasi makaranda vayuhu antargataha svavivarena chakara tesham sankshobham akshara jusham api chitta tanvohu. So all the four Kumaras who were initially attached to some impersonal conception, so they smell the fragrance of the tulsi leaves offered to the lotus feet of Krishna. There is a transformation in their mind and senses and body. Okay. Next. Padau harehe krishna padanu sarpane shiro hrishikesha padabhivandane kamam cha dasye natu kama kamyaya yathottama shloka janashrayarati. Padau harehe kshetra padanu sparshane. He used his pada, the feet, to go to Hari Kshetras, to go to different pilgrimage places where Lord Hari is being worshipped. Shiro Hrishikesha pada abhivandane. He used his head to do abhivandan, to offer obeisances to the lotus feet of Lord Hari. Kamam cha dasye natu kamya kamaya. So he did not engage his ability to desire, to fulfill his sense gratificatory desires. He doted all his desires in the service of Krishna. Okay, yathottama shloka janashraya ratihi. He also developed a lot of affection for devotees of Krishna, paraphernalia of Krishna, entourage of Krishna. Like that, he found engagement for all his senses, body and mind in bhakti yoga, and that is the best way of controlling one's senses. And it's not just controlling senses, it is giving the real gratification to the senses. Senses need enjoyment, but the real enjoyment of senses will come from Krishna bhakti. Yukta asita mat paraha. Mat paraha, being fixed up in Krishna katha and Krishna seva will make us self-controlled. Is it clear? Now, if one does not control his senses from the sense objects, what will happen? Kya hota hai? Krishna gives 8 stages of fall down for such a sense uncontrolled, mind uncontrolled person. When the mind is not in control, senses also will not be under control. Okay, both are very much connected. Now Krishna gives this 8-stage fall down process.
Dhyayato vishayan pumsah. Sangastyeshu pajayate. Sangat sanjayate kama. Kamat krodho abhijayate. Krodhat bhavati sammoha. Sammoha smriti vibhramah. Smriti bhramshat buddhinasho. Buddhinashat pranashyati. Dhyayato vishayan pumsah.
Although the senses are restrained from the sense objects, what will happen? Dhyayato. We contemplate on the sense objects through our mind. Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha. People meditate on the sense objects within the mind. That is contemplation. Okay. Although senses are not coming in contact with the sense objects, the mind is contemplating on them. That is the first stage of fall down. Next, sangas teshopi jayati. Okay. By meditating, by contemplating on the sense objects within the mind, there is attachment developed for those sense objects. Attachment is the second stage. Third stage, sangat sanjayate kamaha. From such attachment, kama will develop, lust will develop. Lust is the third stage. First is contemplation, second is attachment, third is lust. Kamad krodho abhijayate. And from lust, anger develops. When the lust is unfulfilled, there is anger. Fourth stage is anger. Fifth stage, krodhat bhavati sammohaha. In anger, complete delusion arises. When someone is angry, that person does not know what he is speaking, what he is doing. He may speak something very harsh, which even he may also not mean. In anger. That's why in anger one should not take a decision. Right? So, krodhat bhavati sammohaha. That will lead to delusion. That is the fifth stage. Sixth stage. Sammohat smriti vibhramaha. When one is in delusion, one will forget everything. Okay? So, memory is lost. Bewilderment of memory will happen. That is the sixth stage. Seventh stage. Smriti bhramshad, when memory is lost, buddhinasho. When then the intelligence is also lost. When you lose memory, when the memory is bewildered, you lose intelligence. Buddhinashat pranashyati. Eighth stage is fall down. So these are the eight stages of fall down, all because of uncontrolled mind. Mind is allowed to meditate on the sense objects. If you allow the mind to go towards demoniac thoughts, later mind will not allow you to come back. You allowed the mind to go away. What will the mind do? Mind will take you also along, gradually, slowly. Then mind will not allow you to come back. Earlier he allowed me, I should allow him now. Mind will not think like that. Mind will take little bit of lenience of the spiritual seeker, of a sadhaka, and with that lenience mind will just meditate little bit on the sense objects, and will take more lenience, and the sadhaka is giving, okay, fine, go, no problem, chalega. Up to that point you go, but mind will cross, sadhaka will also just go along with the mind, and sadhaka wants to go back to bhakti. No, mind will not allow. Now I have brought you till here, so be with me only. If we allow the mind to go away, mind will not allow us to come back. What is inattention? Inattention is basically not trying to bring the mind back on track when it goes away. That's what we have to constantly do in chanting. We are chanting the holy names and the mind is going somewhere else. We are not attempting to bring it back. It goes somewhere else. And then we try to bring and it is not coming. Fine, one round is over, two rounds are over, five rounds are over, 10 rounds are over. 10 rounds, I hardly had 10 mantras, mind is still there only.
Come back. Okay, fine. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Just you chant one mantra and the mind will go away again. 16 rounds are over. Okay, tomorrow we'll try to do something. Like that. So, if we allow the mind to go away, mind will not allow us to come back. Now, so, Krishna described these 8 stages of fall down. Okay. So, Prabhupada writes in the purport, Rupa Goswami's verse. Prapanchikataya buddhya harisambandhi vastunaha mumukshubhir parityago vairagyam falgukathyati. Okay, 62nd purport also we have not discussed. So, Prabhupada gives the example of Haridas Thakur. So, only by bhakti one can control the senses, as we discussed in the previous purport, giving Ambarish Maharaj's example. So, there are other people also who try to control the senses, like Vishwamitra was there and someone else was there. So they were, Saubari Muni was there. So they were distracted. They performed some tapasya or some meditation for a long time. But they were distracted at some point. But Haridas Thakur, when he was chanting the holy names of Krishna, then a prostitute came. But Haridas was not distracted. He engaged her also in the chanting of the holy names. Okay. So by taking shelter of Bhakti Yoga, one can eventually control the mind and make the mind also a great devotee of Krishna. But if one takes shelter of other processes, it's very difficult. Bhagavatam also repeatedly says the same thing. Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karmashayam grathita mudgrathayanti santaha tadvanna riktamatayo yatayo piruddha Shroto ganastamaranam bhajavasudevam Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya. If one takes shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna with bhakti, then karmashayam grathitam udgrathayanti santaha. Their karmashaya, their aspirations to do fruitive activities and their desires for fruitive results will be uprooted completely, not chopped off, uprooted. The tree is totally uprooted with no possibility of growing. But tadvanna riktamatayo yatayo piriddha. One who is devoid of bhakti, although they try so much, they can't even control their senses. Okay. So bhakti is the best process for sense control. And it's not, sense control is not the ultimate goal of life. Right, that is an important element to reach the goal of life. By bhakti, by engaging senses in Krishna consciousness, one can easily control the senses and pursue the spiritual path. Okay. Now, coming to the 63rd purport, Prabhupada quotes this, prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastunaha. So one has to learn how to engage so many material objects in Krishna's service. Okay. Hari sambandhi vastunaha. So one is, earlier Krishna said, withdraw the senses from sense objects. Not like that. Engage the sense objects in Krishna's seva. For the senses, instead of taking a flower and then smelling the flower and then gratifying your nose, offer that same flower to Krishna. Engage that object in Krishna's seva. Put it at the lotus feet of Krishna. And then take that Krishna's maha, paraphernalia, and smell it. Same smell. But this has a spiritually purifying effect on your body because it is offered to Krishna. Okay? If we directly gratify our senses through sense objects, there is bondage. If we directly eat the food without offering to the Supreme Lord, there is bondage. But if you offer the food items to Krishna and then eat it as prasadam, there is no bondage. So one should not just stay away from sense objects thinking that they will cause bondage. One should learn to engage those objects in Krishna's service and then accept them as prasadam, then there is only progress in spiritual path. If we just give up the sense object, that is falgu vairagya. We cannot give up material objects or material wealth. That is falgu vairagya, dry renunciation. So Krishna answered the third question. What was the third question? How does a sthita prajna control his senses? Krishna gave the example of tortoise. Okay. Then he said, but withdrawing senses from sense objects is not so easy. We should have a higher taste.
And how will we get that higher taste? By engaging in Krishna service. Matparaha. If you don't control the mind, there are 8 steps of fall down. Okay. Next, 64th verse onwards, Krishna gives the answer to the 4th question. What is the 4th question? How does Chitta Pragna respond to sense objects? We already discussed. The sense objects are engaged in Krishna's service. Anyways, 64th verse we'll discuss. Ragadveshavimuktaistu Vishayan Indriyaischaran Atma Vashyur Vidheyatma Prasadamadhigachati. But a person free from all attachment and aversion, raga dvesha vimuktaistu. Raga is attachment, dvesha is aversion. You should be devoid of these two. Then vishayan indriya, indriyaischaran, and one is able to restrain the senses from the sense objects. Atma vashyur vidheyatma, by following the regulative principles of freedom. Prabhupada writes, regulative principles, but they are of freedom. When there is regulation, there is freedom. Freedom and regulation seem opposite. Okay? Because one is not unrestrictedly enjoying senses and performing bhakti yoga, such a bhakti yogi will have more freedom to take decision, to have, he has developed consciousness. For example, Narada Muni go anywhere and everywhere. Okay? But a typical materialistic conditioned soul cannot go anywhere and everywhere. There is restrictions imposed upon that person. Why so? Because he has uncontrolled senses. Narada Muni can effortlessly control senses by engaging them in Krishna consciousness. Basically, it's not sense control. Ultimately, it is engaging the senses in Krishna seva. Controlling the senses from material objects. Okay. Prasadam adhigachati. So one who is freed from raga, dvesha, attachment and aversion, and engages the senses in sense objects in a regulated manner. Okay. Atma vashyur vidheyatma. Vidheyatma means controlling the senses by regulation. So now mind control is there. However, one can control the mind by first restraining the senses from the sense objects. So when we come to later verses and chapters, we will understand the hierarchy. Intelligence is higher than mind, mind is higher than senses and all that. But first the senses have to be regulated to bring the mind slowly under control. Okay. So here Krishna just gave, one has to control mind, control senses from sense objects by following the regulative principles. There are certain principles to regulate our sense enjoyment. One has to follow that. Then, prasadam adhigachati. One will attain peace and mercy of the Lord. Okay, prasadam could be meant, could be called as peace or the Lord's mercy. So what did Krishna say in the 64th verse? Senses, what is the question of Arjuna? How does a sthita prajna engage his senses? Right? And Krishna says, sthita prajna is devoid of attachment and aversion and he engages senses in a regulated manner. There is sense engagement, but there is regulation in that sense engagement with a controlled mind and with freedom from attachment and aversion. 65th sloka. Prasade sarva dukkhanam hanirasyopajayate prasanna cheta sohyasu buddhir paryavatishthate. Prasade sarva dukkhanam. This is also a popular line in devotee circles. Rest three lines they don't quote. They only quote prasade sarva dukkhanam as soon as they see prasadam. Right? Nice, they are remembering Bhagavad Gita as soon as Siddhi Prasadam. So, prasade sarva dukkhanam hanirasyopajayate. In the previous verse, Krishna ended by saying one will get prasada, the Lord's mercy. And this verse he began with, by attaining the Lord's mercy or peace, all of one's distresses are destroyed. Hanirasyopajayate.
prasanna chetaso hyasu, in such satisfied consciousness. Prasanna chetasa means the consciousness, chetasa is completely satisfied. Buddhi paryavatishthate, one's intelligence is well established. Okay. So the result of attaining prasada is being fixed up in intelligence. And how do you get that prasada or mercy of the Lord? By having regulation for the senses in enjoyment. Flow is clear till now? 66th shloka. Nasti buddhira yuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana nacha bhavayataha shantir ashantasya kutah sukham. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya. So far we described about yukta, yukta, yukta. Yuktasya means one who engages. Buddhi yukto, buddhi yukto, we discussed, right? So here, nasti buddhir ayuktasya. One who is not engaging his buddhi in Krishna consciousness. Na asti, for him, there is no steady mind. Na cha yuktasya bhavana. So when intelligence is not engaged in Krishna consciousness, there is no steady mind. And nacha bhavayataha shantir, when there is no steady mind, there is no peace. That bhava is equivalent to mind there. Mana is mind, bhava is the emotion of mind, but here bhava is used in the sense of being mind. So nacha bhavayataha shanti, without steady mind there is no peace. Ashantasya kutaha sukham, when there is no peace, where is the scope for happiness? Fine, when there is steady intelligence, there is steady mind. When there is steady mind, there is peace. When there is peace, there is happiness. Without peace, where is happiness? Okay, steady mind and steady intelligence are the basis of peace and happiness. So one has to steady the mind by engaging it in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, one who is engaged without a relationship with Krishna is certainly always in distress and is without peace. Fine. 67th shloka. Very beautiful. Indriyanam hi charatam yanmano nuvidhiyate tadasya harati prajnan vayurnavam ivambhasi. So Krishna says, indriyanam hi charatam. There is indriya. Even one indriya, one sense also, if it is charatam, if it is roaming here and there, yan mano anuvidhiyate, and the mind is focusing on that roaming sense. Okay, sense is roaming somewhere and mind is focusing on it. Eyes are going here and there. Now there is nose, all senses are there. Sometimes one sense gets distracted. There is some beautiful object there, eyes are roaming there. Mind also goes along with it. Indriyanam hi charatam yan mano anuvidhiyate. Instead of mind controlling the senses, mind just is controlled by the senses. Tadasya harati prajnam, that will steal away our intelligence also. See, the reverse process is mentioned. You know the body chariot analogy? In that analogy, the horses are the senses, the ropes are the mind, the driver is the intelligence, and the passenger is the soul. Intelligence is supposed to control the mind. Mind is supposed to control the senses. That is, driver is supposed to hold the reins and reins is supposed to control the horses. But it's going the opposite. One sense, not all also. One horse, one sense is going towards something. Mind is also going there. Intelligence is also going there. Harati prajnam, his intelligence is carried away. Just like vayurnavamivambhasi, when the boat is, when a ship is sailing on a river or an ocean, then strong wind comes. The strong wind will sway away the boat like that. Just like a strong wind sweeps away the boat in the water, the one strong sense can sweep away the mind and intelligence of a sadhaka. So agitated senses can carry away the intelligence also. 68th shloka. And how to do that?
first regulate the senses. It all begins with senses. So one has to regulate the senses by engaging the senses in Krishna consciousness. Senses have to be given some enjoyment, but there is some regulation also. Then one will slowly control the mind and polish the intelligence. 68th shloka. Tasmadyasya
mahabaho
nigrihitani sarvashah
indriyanindriyarthebhyah
tasya prajna pratishthitah. So now Krishna is summarizing here. So therefore one whose senses are restrained from their objects, he is certainly in steady intelligence. He is just reconfirming what he has already said. Okay, tasmat means therefore. He is giving a mini intermediate conclusion. Tasmat, therefore, yasya mahabaho, O mighty armed Arjuna, nigna nigrihitani sarvashah indriyani indriyarthebhyah. One who is restraining his senses from all sense objects, he is prajna pratishthita, he is situated, he is fixed up in his prajna, steady intelligence. A sthita prajna is one who is fixed up in his intelligence. What does he do? He naturally and spontaneously restrains his senses from sense objects. But one who is not yet sthita prajna, one who is trying to become sthita prajna, such a person will practice to restrain his senses from sense objects. Is it clear? One is the perfection stage, other is practice stage. One who is already a sthita prajna, he will naturally control senses, spontaneously. Effortlessly he does it. But one who is just practicing it, his eyes will go there. No, it is not proper for me to look there. So let me look here. His nose is going somewhere. No, I should not be smelling this. Okay? Hands are going somewhere else. I think it's not proper to touch this. Okay, I'll restrain. Mind is going, I'll restrain. But a intelligent person, he will not even feel like touching it. Like that. And 69th shloka.
Yanisha
sarva bhutanam
tasyam
jagarti samyami tasyam jagarti, sorry, yasyam jagarti bhutani sanisha pasyato munehe yanisha sarva bhutanam. What is nisha? Nisha means night. Sarva bhutana, what is night for all people in general, he is tasyam jagarti samyami. For a sense control person, that becomes day. Okay, the night for a sense uncontrolled materialistic person becomes the day for a sense controlled sthita prajna. Opposite. Yasyam jagarti bhutani sa nisha pasyato muni. The time of awakening for all beings becomes the night for an introspective sage who is a sthita prajna. Right? A sthita prajna, some a devotee or a spiritual sadhaka. So he may sleep in the night 8:30, 9 o'clock, and he will get up at 3:30, 4 o'clock, something like that, and then attend Mangalarti, chant the holy names of the Lord, okay, and read Srimad Bhagavatam. These are his activities. Before sunrise only, that person will get up and start his spiritual practices. Okay? But a materialistic person may not do so. He will sleep at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock. So the person is getting up, sthita prajna is getting up, and the person is going to bed. Oh, you are getting up? Now? It's time to sleep. So one person asked me, when do you sleep? I sleep around 8:30. Neend aata hai kya? Itna jaldi neend aa jata hai aapko? हाँ, I get. 12 बजे 1 बजे तक हमको नींद ही नहीं आते. Okay? And say, till 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, we don't want to get up also. We cannot get up also. So like that. So what is day for a spiritual seeker becomes night for a person who is not pursuing a spiritual life. Okay? Next. So sthita prajna's intelligence is fixed on the soul. That makes him experience bliss and he is awake. And a materialistic person's intelligence is fixed on sense objects, and that makes him experience so-called happiness and later lamentation and bewilderment because of loss of it. Okay, so his day and night becomes tipsy-turvy. 70th sloka.
Apuryamanam achala pratishtham samudramapaha pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashantimapnoti nakamakami apuryamanam achala pratishtham.
The ocean is always still, although it is being filled with many rivers that enter it. You see, the ocean is very still. So much of water is being poured, it's not overflowing. Okay, it is very steady and still. All the rivers are entering, especially in monsoon, the flow, the force with which the rivers enter the ocean is very high. But the ocean doesn't get agitated or disturbed. Similarly, tavat karma, tavat kama, yam pravishanti sarve. Similarly, the sthita prajna also remains very peaceful and undisturbed by the incessant flow of desires. But one who strives to satisfy such desires, he cannot be peaceful. Desires may come, even an advanced person's thing also. It's okay. He will effortlessly just reject it. Okay. So this Yamunacharya's verse is there. As soon as the thought of lust comes in my mind, I spit at that thought. Thought may sometimes come, even for an advanced person also. But they effortlessly reject the thought. But they don't dwell on the thought. They don't do dhyayato vishayan pumsam sangaste shubhajayate. There is no contemplation on the thought. If we cut down the thought at contemplation level, then we don't have to go to the remaining seven stages of fall down. Seventh shloka.
Vihaya kamanyah sarvan pumams charati nispruhah nirmamo nirahankarah sashanti madhigachhate. Vihaya kamanyah sarvan.
One who has, what are the qualities of sthita prajna? Krishna is summarizing all the qualities of sthita prajna in this verse.
Vihaya kaman yaha sarvan.
One who has given up all sense enjoyment, objects of sense enjoyment, and kama, desires for sense enjoyment. Such a person is sthita prajna. Krishna said that in the first verse only. Prajahati yaha, prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan. You remember that? 55th shloka. So, sthita prajna gives up all material desires and sense objects. Number two. Pumams charati nispruhaha. Nispruha means no desires. Right? Except for bodily maintenance, the sthita prajna has no material desires whatsoever. There is some desire to eat some food. Because of that only one can maintain one's body. So the desires for self-preservation of sleeping for 6-7 hours in a day, or taking some rest, taking some food, these are all bona fide desires. Next, nirmamo, no possessiveness, no sense of proprietorship. Nirahankaraha, there is no sense of false ego or false identity. Sashantim adhigachati, such a person can attain peace. He is a sthita prajna. No false ego, no uncontrolled senses, no possessiveness, no desires like that. So what is the destination of such a sthita prajna? Who is so great? 72nd verse, last verse of this chapter, Krishna says,
Yesha Brahmi Sthita Partha Nainam Prapya Vimuhyati Sthitvasyam Antakalepi Brahma Nirvana Vrichhati.
So the destination of such a sthita prajna is Brahma Nirvana. Means he will attain the kingdom of God, the spiritual world. Okay.
Yesha Brahmi Sthita Partha. Brahmi Sthita means one who is situated in his spiritual position as a sthita prajna, as a self-realized soul, as a jivan mukta. Yesha Brahmi Sthita Partha Nainam prapya vimuhyati. He will not be bewildered. Okay. Sthitva syam antakalepi. Even at the time of antakala. Antakala is time of death. Even at the time of leaving one's body, the sthita prajna is not bewildered. Otherwise, at the time of leaving body, somebody's mind may be completely deranged and all the unfulfilled desires will haunt him. He will beg the doctor, can you please increase my lifespan for one more year? I want to see the marriage of my great-grandson. Okay? Or I want that legal dispute to be settled. Or I want to purchase this bungalow and live in this bungalow at least for one year. Okay? So like that, there may be so many desires overwhelming a person. The unfulfilled desires will haunt a person who is not a sthita prajna, who is not fixed up in his intelligence and who has not controlled his mind, who has not dotted his senses in Krishna's service. But a person who is devoid of all the material desires, one who is fixed up in his mind and intelligence on Krishna's service, such a person, even at the time of antakala, okay, at the time of death also, he will think of God and he will go back to God. But if he has so many other thoughts related to this material world, at the time of leaving the body, he will certainly have to come back to this world only. If he has no thoughts or no desires left in this material world, he is dedicated to Krishna, he will go back to spiritual world. That is the result. Brahma Nirvana Mrichati. So we have completed the chapter. I will quickly summarize the chapter in a couple of minutes. In the first 10 verses of this chapter, Arjuna expressed his further doubts and confusions and his indecisive nature, and he accepted Krishna as his spiritual master. Please teach me. I am bewildered about my duty. So can you please become my teacher and then tell me, teach me a sense of duty. Okay. Then Krishna, in the 11th to 30th verses, Krishna describes the science of soul, jnana or sankhya, the intellectual, the knowledge, the analytical knowledge of soul and body. He gives various qualities of soul and he says, soul is permanent, eternal, and body is perishable, and there is no need to lament for the change of bodies. You should better fight, do your duty. Then in the next 7 verses, 31 to 37, Krishna spoke about sakama karma, performing one's prescribed duty for enjoyment. Okay? In Arjuna's case, if he fights and wins the battle, he will enjoy earthly kingdom. And if he dies in the battle, he will go to heaven and enjoy there. So better for him is to perform his prescribed duty. Whether loss or gain, he will only get enjoyment. Then Krishna spoke about the next topic of Nishkama Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga. And many of the verses in this section are explaining Bhakti Yoga also, although the word Bhakti doesn't come in the verses so much. Okay. So Nishkama Karma Yoga. Krishna then elaborated on doing one's duties, prescribed duties, with detachment as an offering to the Supreme, with knowledge of the Supreme. Okay, that is called Nishkama Karma Yoga. You are doing your karma, but you are Nishkama. No desires for fruitive results. And you are doing it as an offering for Supreme. That is yoga. And there is knowledge, there is detachment. So, that's Krishna elaborated on it a lot. And he also gave the benefits of doing that Buddhi Yoga. Then Arjuna asked this question. What are the symptoms of a person who is fixed up in this Buddhi Yoga? One who has achala buddhi, sthita prajna. He asked 4 questions about sthita prajna. What are his symptoms? How does he respond to dualities? Number 3. How does he restrain his senses? Number 4. How does he engage his senses? Krishna answered these 4 questions one by one. First, he said his sthita prajna symptoms are, he has given up all desires and he is self-satisfied. Second, how does he respond to dualities? He will be in a neutral state, right? He has equanimity. Equanimity is his response towards dualities. Third, how does he restrain senses? Like a tortoise, he restrains his senses, but he does it by cultivating a higher taste and becoming matpara, becoming a
dedicated servant of Krishna, being Krishna conscious, by engaging one's senses in Krishna consciousness. Okay. Fourth question. Fourth question is, how does he engage his senses? How does Sthita Prajna engage his senses? And as an answer to third question, Krishna also spoke the eight qualities, eight steps of fall down due to uncontrolled mind. And in the fourth answer, how does Sthita Prajna engage his senses? Krishna spoke about engaging senses with regulation. Okay, one has to engage senses with regulation and then slowly steady one's mind and intelligence. Okay. Thank you all very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We have completed two chapters.